Sweet Sweet Garbage is a podcast in which two women, Jenna Redding and Bailey von Schneider, take a look back at some of their favorite garbage films and television. Knowing them as we do, we have to ask the question, why do they find themselves enamored with this trash? Not only that, why do we ourselves root for the problematic woman? We love a good crazy stalker, male or female. Why is Bailey okay with the idea of Penn Badgley stalking her? Why does Jenna want to single white female every person she meets? Can they be feminists and still enjoy these indulgences? Let's find out.
All right. Welcome back, guys, to another episode of Sweet, Sweet Garbage. We're winding down my favorite month, Jason Isaacs month. and we're going out with a bang. We're going out with the movie that started the craze, the one that got 11-year-old Jenna just like up in a tizzy. We're doing 2001's, of the, oh, 2000, sorry, my bad. Even actually, older. So I was in fifth grade, so I was 10.
I was even younger.
yeah, we're doing 2000's The Patriot. And we actually have a guest on this week. We have David Miller. Hi, David.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yes. David told me when we posted about this, he was like, I actually weirdly love The Patriot. And I was like, okay, because I weirdly love The Patriot.
I know I'm not supposed to, and I know why there are problems with it. Like,
it's like a big dumb movie, but like it's very lovable.
Yeah. And I think in the place when I mean, we'll probably get into it, but when I where I was in my life when I saw it as a kid was like, I grew up in a very like conservative Christian America loving bubble, you know, that right. I have since sort of gone a bit away from, but in general, like it was just very like, oh, we watched this movie and it was like, oh, this is it. And then
yeah, so just, America.
Yeah. Woo, and I've seen it yeah. so many times now at this point that it's like just in my brain, you know.
You were telling me that like even though it's been many years since you've seen it, when you were watching it you could still quote it.
Like every line, it's like
yeah,
dumb.
Me
like
too.
Like nothing, lines that mean nothing and are just like getting us from point A to point B.
Yeah, yeah, so just like oh, an I know exposition. Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like that with A Walk to Remember, so it's totally fine.
You know what? I honestly could probably do that with A Walk to Remember too. I saw that so many times in high school.
Oh, love it!
Such a great film.
But yeah, so why don't you go into a little bit of a synopsis,
yeah,
Bailey?
Yeah. So IMDb tells us that peaceful farmer Benjamin Martin is driven to lead the colonial militia during the American Revolution when a sadistic British officer murders his son.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, that British officer, Jason Isaacs, man, it's actually a wild performance because like it really shouldn't work.
Yeah.
He's like so just like crazy evil. And like clearly
like unprovoked.
Yeah. Too. Like just like goes from like 0 to 1,000 so quick.
Yeah.
And I guess there was some like pushback when the movie came out. Because they were like, hey, you're making the British seem like
monsters, you know, like straight like, up just
straight
like
up
psychopaths.
Like, yeah, exactly.
And I think to an extent that character is like portrayed pretty clearly as like this guy's just like Murder Town kind of psycho.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You know. I felt like because we had the other characters that were like questioning him or like being like, why? Because like, especially the scene where it's like, oh, this place is harboring the enemy. Like we must burn it down. And even some of his British pals were like, wait, huh? What are we doing?
Homie, what?
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, we only really centered on one of the No, I don't even think the British guy's in that scene. It was just Adam Baldwin, the American red coat.
Oh yeah,
like super upset. And then all the rest just were like
yeah.
Although like red coat demons.
Exactly. Yeah. But basically just yeah, to go at the beginning, it is this whole thing about how Mel Gibson is like very much trying to just like be a farmer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's
live his life.
Yeah,
and,
you know.
And he doesn't want war at all because he knows that it'll like ravage our villages and our towns.
He had been through, we learned he had been through like the French and Indian War. Like he had been through these wars that he does not want to continue. He does not want to send his children to war, even though they're gung-ho to go to war.
Yeah, these kids really fucking want to go to war.
Yeah.
But yeah, he just like, he wants to farm. He wants to build his, he wants to build his rocking chairs that apparently he's like, he's just not a very good carpenter.
The aggression when he sits in the chair and it breaks and then he goes apeshit on it. I was like, okay.
Well, and I think that's like, that's a small clue to like,
his temper,
like,
yeah,
oh,
that
yeah,
he's not
he
like a
this shit, yeah.
Yeah, and the only reason he stops is because his youngest kid is just like staring at him.
Yeah.
It was so cute. Oh. She just has that one like bit where she like shakes her head at him, and he's like, "Sorry,
I won't lose my cool anymore for you." But he has like six. What does he have? Like six children?
Seven. He has seven kids,
and his wife has passed on, so now he's just living there with his. He has African Americans that work for him, but we do learn that they are not slaves; they are free,
which is like kind of a cop out for sure. It's all like, come on.
And like, I did kind of like go back and be like, wait a minute. I remember hearing a bunch of stuff like, who is this based on again? And like, Benjamin Martin himself is not a real person.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess in interviews, once they've said like, oh, there's a bunch of people that we kind of based him on, but mostly it's some guy named like Francis Marion.
Yeah. And that guy had
slaves. Was a slaveholder. So. Yeah. And like a bad one. Like, I mean, they're all bad ones. Like, man, that sounded terrible.
right.
It was like a good slave.
Like a worse than your everyday one, which is
well,
already
like,
terrible.
You know, there is like, if you've ever seen 12 Years a Slave, there is like the Benedict Cumberbatch slave owner who's like kind of like benevolent, just like, you know, is kind of like has them and doesn't really like do anything cruel to them. And then on the other hand, there's the
Michael
Fassbender,
you know,
one.
Owning them like things.
Raping them, like,
and like, but like being like a sadistic dude too, like just being like
psycho. But apparently that's what this guy Francis Marion was like,
so it did feel, and like again there was like pushback on this where like I think Spike Lee said that he was fucking pissed, and like if Spike Lee ever like was mad at me, I'd be like, I don't know what I would do.
Like, I'm remaking my
I'm like, okay, I need reshoots.
But I was floored because like I was clearly aware of this movie. I was aware of Heath Ledger in this and things like that, but I was not aware that Roland Emmerich directed this.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I was like,
disaster artist.
Like, I was like, this dude cannot make a movie. And I was just, but it's weird because you're used to like him being like a disaster director. Like, I guess this is a disaster in and of itself.
I mean,
like,
this time it's not the elements, it's it's
so
people.
It was interesting that it's like, okay, this is Roland Emmerich doing like a revenge movie of like a father in like, you know, the times of like what, like colonialism and taxation without representation. I was like, okay, this is an interesting choice for this.
To me, I always called it Braveheart and the American Revolution.
Yeah, of course.
That's like literally what it is, like down to the main star.
Honestly, like it's actually surprising. I think because I think for the longest time I thought Mel Gibson had directed
this. I totally thought he directed this too.
It's and up then, his alley.
Because of like, you know, you had Braveheart. So I was like, I saw when it said Roland Emmerich, I was like, oh, what?
Actually, though, I will say, because like as problematic as Mel Gibson is, if he had directed it probably would have been a better movie. Like, this is like a perfect popcorn movie. This is like a fun, I mean, as fun as it can get. It is almost 3 hours of like
and I'll tell you,
violence.
A few years back, a good amount of time ago, but I happened upon and found the like extended director's cut or something.
That I need
like,
to see it.
Is 3 hours long.
Oh my God.
Need to see it.
And what I'd say is you can kind of see why the scenes that were cut because they don't really add a lot, but.
Yeah. That's funny.
You're like, here it is and you can enjoy it. But it's interesting because I find that this movie almost felt like Taken at times where it's like.
Oh yeah, he's just so like bent on revenge.
Yeah, it's just like the idea of like this older dude just being like, you wronged me. I'm gonna like do everything to
And it's kind of even like a double roller coaster of it because he's like, oh, revenge to like avenge my first son and save my oldest son. And then oldest son gets married and then has reason of his own for revenge. And Mel Gibson's like, no revenge, stay the course, time for that stuff. And
stop
then
it.
Like, and then when that goes poorly, Mel Gibson's like, well, back on the revenge train.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But there is just so...
I mean, but I will say, like, there's... Even though this movie is pretty long, like, I feel like there isn't a lot of it that drags. Like, everything,
no, I
like...
I didn't feel that it really dragged, honestly.
Yeah, like, it's pretty, like, action-packed. Like, so we start with him on the farm. They get called to Charlestown because, like, the city... Or, like, they're going to, like, vote on, like, whether they want to go to war,
to, like,
basically.
Levy money to support the army, which
right. And then
will, yeah.
If they do that, then they're going to start, like, sending troops and, like, start sending support.
Yeah.
So when they go to Charlestown, he basically says, like, no, I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. And also, because I don't want to do it, I don't want to send, like, other people.
I'm not going
to
vote for war if I'm not willing to fight myself.
Yeah.
So,
and I was like, okay. Because, like, at first, like, I was just like, well, just vote for it and don't go to war. Like, I don't understand. But then he says it and I was like, oh, that's actually, like,
remember, this
doable.
Was before. Before 9/11, so a lot of the feeling about that may have changed in some circles, but
yeah, that's true. right. It would be interesting to have seen how this movie would have been received, like, post 9/11,
if it was released, like, a year and a half later. Yeah,
just to, like, see, like, what the, I mean, because it was a hit, it was
yeah,
already
it
a hit.
Well.
Yeah,
I really looked it up, I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, no, it was pretty popular.
How much money it made, I was like,
yeah.
But, like, yeah, I wonder, because, like, some people, like, the general consensus was, like, oh, this is, like, kind of silly. Mm. And, I mean, it is. But, like, yeah, who knows if, like, a year and a half later, people would have been, like, a little bit more, like, gung-ho about it, been, like, very much, like...
It's funny that you say the consensus is that it was silly, because, at least in the bubble, I was, like, my family was, like, this movie is so... amazing. It's so heartfelt.
It's so American.
So, yeah, like, yeah.
Well, no,
yeah.
It's interesting, though, because, like, that's, like, how my family was. I feel like you and I actually have, like, very similar upbringings.
Probably.
Because, like, my parents were, like, very religious. And, like, my dad is from Texas. Like, he's from Abilene. So, like, the armpit of Texas.
Abilene,
Texas. Yeah, yeah. Like, not even, like, a blue city.
Not even the cool part of Texas.
No, not nothing. Nowhere. No. It's, like, 2 hours out of Dallas. It's like, or something like that. Yeah. But yeah, no, like he loved this movie. And like, yeah. Again, like I actually still like unapologetically love this movie, but like, I do take it with a grain of salt where I'm just like, well.
Oh, I'm right. Never going to like go to someone and be like, you know, a movie you should see.
Yeah. Yeah. Patriot. I don't think I'm
like, I love The Patriot so much. Please watch it type situation.
Although I'm going to admit, like, I've admitted this about like pretty much every Jason. Well, no, not Peter Pan, I guess. And not the last one we watched, but like, I used to write The Patriot fan fiction.
Oh.
Yeah.
About Jason Isaacs or about Gabriel Martin?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What was he doing?
You know, it was sexy stuff.
More important was who was he doing it with?
Yeah, the original. Yeah, right. Oh. It's a little problematic if you think about it. But you know, whatever. I embrace this part of myself. I was like, it's like Tina on Bob's Burger.
Oh yes. My god, yeah. Friend fiction.
Yeah, yeah. Except it was the Patriot fan fiction about Jason Isaacs.
I mean, you have your Jason Isaacs crush. I had dueling crushes on the two women in this movie because
there's barely any women in this.
There's, like, there's and... one other two other women get a line and it's one each and that's it.
But no, so it would be Anne and then what's her
Aunt
name?
Charlotte.
Man, and she always looks so mysterious and she's just looking longingly.
I mean, she's got that Redgrave DNA there, you know.
There's a scene when they're like at her house at night when like the redcoats come to like kidnap his family and they have to like get up and hush like hide and she like hears the horses or whatever outside or like the kid comes in to wake her up and she like is laying on top of the bed in like the full like Southern Belle dress with like full makeup and everything and it's like huh what's happening
I look flawless
and it's midnight let's go.
Yeah, that's why like Jenner and I like, why is she still dressed?
I was like, I think she passed out from the corset. Like, it had to have been that.
It's like, there's young, impressionable boys in this house. I must be clothed at all times.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, she's like, I'm not letting any of these, like, weird 13-year-old kids, like, stare at me in, like in my shift.
The interesting aspect of all of this is that, like, when I had actually never fully seen, like, all of The Patriot, but my awareness of The Patriot, like, weirdly wasn't Heath Ledger for me. It was Trevor Morgan.
Oh, he's in like 10 minutes.
The son, yeah, the what I actually call the kid from Small Soldiers.
No, that's Gregory Smith.
Oh, okay.
Seth Morgan, yeah. For me, is the kid from Disney's Genius. He was the dickhead in The Sixth Sense, and
he's
the
third oldest.
He's into murdering people.
Yeah, when they go into the woods,
and he's like, I don't feel bad. And me, meanwhile, the other brother is literally petrified.
Yeah,
so the sociopath son. I was super into it.
Well, he takes after his dad.
That was my awareness at that time of being like, and then it's weird to watch it because like at that time I was like, oh my God, he's such a babe. And now I watch it and I'm like, that is a child.
Crazy how young all of them look. And like, it is crazy to think like this was 22 years ago.
Yeah, this was talking, this was like a year after like 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah, so this was
like the Heath Ledger coming into his own.
And like, I had read that he had almost like quit acting and gone back to Australia because he, after 10 Things I Hate About You, he kept only getting offered like heartthrob roles, teen comedies and stuff. But then this movie came around and he actually won out over Josh Hartnett.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And then Josh Hartnett had his day with Pearl Harbor.
So he did all right. He was fine.
We have a Josh but also coming up.
Oh, great, because I love Pearl Harbor. Let me tell you. In the same way that I know The Patriot, I know Pearl Harbor.
All right, you're Pearl Harbor. It's yours.
Because literally that movie. Oh God, I mean that's a hilarious movie. Again, also too, like Michael Bay. Like, what do you mean Michael Bay is directing?
Yeah, exactly. It's when you have these directors that you're like, huh? And they make this like ridiculous movie about, you know, this historic moment in America.
Yeah, although I would say that this role for Heath Ledger is definitely still like a heartthrob role, as close to a heartthrob role you can get in a movie like
for sure.
You're not wrong.
For sure. Yeah, he just gets a little bit more to do. He gets to seem like staunchly heroic.
Gets to like kill some guys.
Yeah, but like that's
to lay
the thing,
in
so.
A bag.
Yeah.
Get to see him get stabbed. He doesn't have a shirt on in certain scenes. But it's interesting that he was so desperate to get out of that, which makes sense. It's like, I want to be taken seriously. So then he's like, I'm just going to make a gay cowboy movie and you're all going to love it. And then he's like, I'm going to be the Joker and you're all going to be like, what?
Yeah.
Like, so
he did real well.
Until he, unfortunately, the demons got him. Demons, unfortunately.
But so they basically vote for war. And because of that, Heath Ledger decides to enlist. And then that, of course, like causes a rift in the family. And then like 2 years basically go by.
Yeah.
And like, you know, life on the farm is seems to still be farming. Gregory Smith, Thomas.
2 years later?
Yeah, and he's like jonesing to go. He really wants to go. And I guess at this point he's 15 because he has a conversation with his dad where he's like, when do I get to enlist, basically? Yeah. And he's like, when you're 17. And he's like, well, that's 2 years from now. The war could be over, blah, 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 like all this. And he's like, God willing,
But what a thing would it be that you don't have to go to war?
Yeah, right?
It's wild to me, though, that you had people, like, I mean, granted, we don't really know how these people really react to them, but these people seemingly were, like, ready to fight for their country. And then you get to, like, granted, Vietnam in and of itself is just, like, senseless war. But then you've had draft dodgers being like, fuck going to war. It's so funny when it's like, I am not fighting for this senseless shit for my country, versus like, and then it's like, when can I sign up? I'm ready to go now.
Well, I feel like basically Vietnam was the shift, because basically
you hear stories like that too about like World War I, World War II kids,
like people were really wanting to go. They like lied. Whoa. They would to like go.
What gets me though is it's so interesting that like with like World War II in Korea, that like we lived in a world where we sent men of every stature there, like literal like major baseball figures like Ted Williams went to war. He fought in two wars, and it's wild to me that it's like
even movie stars like Clark Gable
our
fought.
Country meant more than sports and cinema. Now it'd be like, oh hell no.
Yeah can you imagine someone like Justin Bieber getting drafted.
I don't want the draft back, but if we could just do one.
Just one. Justin Bieber goes to war. Yeah. He's the only one we send, too.
And he's not even a American, so he's
oh shit, you're right. Wild. Never mind. I forgot. He's Canadian.
We can draft the Canadian guy.
Yeah, we're gonna draft one Canadian.
The one Canadian. But yeah, I was just like, whoa, these people are so ready to go to war.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you see though, yeah, because then so it's 2 years later and and then Thomas wants to go. And then later that night, like the war, like some battle is basically fought
like on
the like 10 ship, seconds yeah. from their steps. Like
so terrible.
It's crazy. Yeah, because like they must have been like in some field very close. And then like they're down by the by like the river or whatever, like that their water source, and like they start seeing like the bodies like floating. And that's before they even hear. I think like
they hear like cannon earlier in the night. They hear like cannons far away, and Mel Gibson is like, "Oh, don't worry, they're going the other way." But as an audience, you're like, "No, they're not."
Shut the hell up. But yeah, and then you hear that, and then like you know Thomas comes like marching in with like a gun, and he's like, "Let's go." He's like, "Guys, get in the house." Like,
what are you doing?
Like, what do you think you're gonna do?
I did love that shot though. I thought that shot of just like them looking out at this war happening,
at this battle. Yeah, it's super
away
cool.
from them. I was like, oh my god, that's a profound shot.
Yeah. Well, also too, I'd be like, get the hell away from the windows, idiot.
Yeah. Why like, are we watching this? Yeah.
Like,
it's
but like
a storm shelter.
Not just like because like of whatever violence you might see, but like, what if like bullets just start like flying through the windows? Like terrible parenting.
The weapons of the day weren't terribly accurate.
Yeah, like they're going all over the place.
Well, I feel like how it was like a crapshoot when they just like lined up and they're free shooting each other.
Yeah,
and it's like, shit, like we might be killing some people. I don't know. The only
well, and that's even why, like, they're like they say it a bunch of times through the movie, like the difference between regular army and militia. And it's like the biggest difference is that in that form of war, when they're like standing facing each other and just like taking turns shooting, regular armies are trained better, so they generally reload and faster and fire faster, which is why they're better than militia, who like take longer between shots.
Right, because so, like they say, like the militia are just like farmers and like bar patrons, from what I could tell.
Yeah, like literally, like I'm gonna go to this bar and I'm gonna get a bunch of people to sign up to go to war.
Yeah.
Like, that's literally what it was.
Yeah, so like the regulars fire faster and probably more accurately because they're also better trained. So it's like, that's just a better army, quote unquote, you know?
Right. But then, so we see like there, while this like thing is, while this battle is going on, we see a soldier like sneaking onto the property. And at first, like, we can't really tell, like, I don't think you can really see their, well, you can't see the
person's face. Yeah, it's a slight fake out. You like,
yeah, yeah, because you're like, oh shit, is this just
some... Yeah, and Mel Gibson goes into like craze mode.
Yeah, he's just all, but he's like super calm. He's just like, drop your weapon, turn around. Like, I was just like, damn, like, that I think is like more scary. Then like when somebody completely
like
loses
like
control.
In control.
Yeah, he's completely in control. He's like just ready to like waste this fool.
There's a soldier that came into his house where his kids are. So he's like going like right under the surface, like angry bear. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. But of course, like, so the soldier turns around and we see that it's Gabriel. It's Heath Ledger. Mm-hmm. And he's like wounded. So, you know, and then like there is like in a second, like he switches back to like dad, like Papa Bear, and like he's like, oh, we're gonna like take care of you. Like
he's injured.
Yeah.
It's pretty convenient for him that his house was just right there at the battle.
Yeah.
Well, I think
was
Gabriel in that battle or he was just riding by because he had like dispatches and stuff that he's supposed to be delivering. Maybe he was in the battle and he's just leaving.
He was supposed to be like what the person that was giving
like a messenger essentially.
Well, yeah, because basically they're like, oh hey, like you have to go take these somewhere. And then as he was leaving, he saw whatever like place or whatever his team or whatever get fucked like slaughtered by the dragoons.
After they surrendered,
they make like they definitely say like they surrendered and then just got fucking killed.
Yeah. The dragoons rode into them.
Yeah. And that's like the first time we hear of the dragoons. Like we're like, oh shit, that seems
you took zero prisoners.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, then like the battle basically comes to their backyard. It's like just like in their yard. So then it cuts to like the next morning when they're like tending to the wounded. And they like very specifically have it where he's like they're tending to both the
everyone,
to the English, to the Americans, like everybody is getting taken care of. And then, you know, and then like Redcoat show up.
Daddy shows up.
Well, he doesn't show up right away.
Yeah,
he doesn't
first
show
up it's right just away. Your regular daddies. Then yeah, it's yeah. Zaddy.
And like the one guy, yeah.
Daddy's on his way in.
But like this guy, this one guy seems like pretty sympathetic. Like he's, yeah. And he also seems very overwhelmed by everything.
Yeah. So like, poor guy. Appreciative for like.
Yeah, he was just like, oh shit, well, thanks for helping, yeah. Dude. Yeah. Like,
almost
this
like
is
he's
great.
One of those like rich nobles that is like, well, I guess I have to go to this war for the king now.
Yeah, but, yeah, you know. Exactly. And like has no real like stomach for it.
Right, yeah.
And you know, he's like, thank you. Like he says to Benjamin, to Mel Gibson's character, he's like, thank you for like tending to like the king's men. And you know, we're like, oh shit, like it seems like everything's going great. He didn't seem to recognize Gabriel, which is good because he seems like sussed out. Like we're like, great, everything's good. And then the dragoons show up. Daddy comes riding in on a horse looking mm-hmm. like this guy just looks evil when he's just like he's
it's
not
impressive.
Saying anything.
It's like impressive. He's like played good guys and stuff, and I've still been like, I don't know if I buy this.
Yeah, right. But like he's also like a really nice guy in real life.
Yeah,
but like literally, I think if he talked to me like personally, I think I would be like nervous. Like yeah. I think like I would be flustered.
It's interesting because sometimes when you hear the people that play like the bad guy or yeah. like the bitch, they're like actually genuinely like actually the really nice people in real yeah. life. Like it's the whole like Betty Davis versus who's the one that she always fought with?
Joan Crawford.
And the idea of like Betty Davis was like, I always played the bitch, Joan Crawford always played the nice person. You know, like being like, which one of us was actually that? So it's interesting that like, yeah, sometimes these people just like weirdly, like, cause Tiffany Amber Thiessen played like the best bitch on 90210. And like, you just hear that she's like the nicest person in real life. So it's like, it's weird that these nice people are just like,
they can tap into
like this assholeness in them. That's like fantastic though.
And yeah. It's crazy. Cause like, he literally just like exudes evil.
It's like resting ulterior motive face.
You know yeah.
I mean? Yes. He's just got something in those haunting like blue eyes.
And he does. I like, do think ooh. It is because like he has such striking eyes and like the mm-hmm. fact that like he can just look like he feels nothing. Like he's just staring at you and it's like you're looking into ice. It's terrifying, but also really hot. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he shows up.
Yeah, he rolls yeah. up.
And then it's just like, all right, well, let's take our guys and then like kill all these motherfuckers and like, you know what? Burn this house down.
I have a house in bombs.
Yeah.
Completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
None of this is necessary in the slightest.
Yeah. Everybody's yeah. like, whoa, what?
Yeah. Like, even like the other guy is like,
wait, what? Yeah.
It's like, oh, he's harboring the enemy. It's like, yes, but he saved your people. Does it matter?
He's yeah, just yeah. a dude with dying people in his yard. Like, sorry.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like, well, so like, what is the best case scenario in his mind? Should we have just like not touched any? Well, obviously it would
probably
been like,
it would have been care for the British soldiers and
leave
say,
the others to die.
To the, yeah.
Yeah. But honestly, I would have been like, you know what? I'm not going to fucking touch any of these people. Cause like, eat shit, dude.
Be like, this is the line. Do not cross.
Yeah. Actually, it's like, we've been spending all morning taking everybody out of the yard and putting them into the woods.
Yeah.
You guys can deal
that
with it.
That is your problem now.
Yeah. Daddy, you take care of it. But basically then they at this point, like Benjamin is just like, you know what, like we're gonna try to keep quiet, like I'm just like keeping my head down, I want my kids to be safe, all of this. And then he they find the dispatches, the rebel yeah. dispatches that Gabriel had. And basically then like he's
yeah.
daddy's just like, oh well, we're gonna take him somewhere and hang him, like
yeah.
he's a spy.
Yeah.
And so you see like Mel Gibson trying to like keep it together, but actually again, like a really good bit of acting where he's like clearly like this close to losing
yeah.
it.
We will yeah. say Mel Gibson is also talking about terrible people in real life. Hey. Mel Gibson is a terrible person in real life, mm-hmm. but
playing the hero, playing the hero
can act though. Like,
yeah. No, it's yeah. true. But I said it, I was telling you when we were watching it, I was just like, the thing is I have said like, I didn't know to the extent of how like awful he was as like a person, but like right. you can tell that dude is mentally unstable. Like yeah. nobody can act like that.
Without,
nobody can
yeah.
play that unstable so compellingly, it, like unless you're a little crazy.
Yeah.
for sure.
Like, because when he switches, it's like boom.
Yeah. But again, I think that probably is what makes him such a good performer, though, is because he's clearly like feeling everything moment to moment. Like that dude, like it's not really actory what he's doing. Like, I was like, it feels like I'm like looking at some like dude losing his mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, he's like trying to keep it together. He's like, hey, he's not a spy. He's like with the, and like, they're trying to act like they don't know each other. Other.
It's just like, yeah. And he does the whole father. Oh, I should yeah, have said father.
Oh shit. Whoops. Oh, he's your son. And like, yeah. And like the way Jason Isaacs says it, where he's just like, oh, I guess you should have taught him. Like, you should have taught him something about loyalty. Something
of loyalty, yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, shit, dude. Whew.
Like, right? Like, he's not even, like, at this point, Mel Gibson to him is like a no one. Like, he's not a rebel. He's not an enemy. He's just a dude. Right. Just and yet he finds out a personal detail and he's like, oh, you know what? I'm just gonna twist the knife a little bit just for the fuck's sake of it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's been a slow morning. I haven't like really like emotionally devastated anybody.
You know, 100 rebels today. So.
Yeah, but like, you know what? I'm gonna fuck with this guy's mind.
This like literal what, like 20-year-old? I must hang this 20-year-old.
Yeah, saying yeah. He's like a spy, yeah. And then oh, it's crazy. But then so he's still like trying, like Mel Gibson is like trying to keep it together.
Mel Gibson has a plan, and we see the plan. But then Gregory Smith just gets in the way of this shit. You know?
Yeah, and so that's when like Gregory Smith like runs out. He like I don't know what his plan was. Clearly it was.
No, please.
Just being a dumbass, because your dad
clearly has got a plan to save Gabriel, but no, you gotta be gung-ho.
Yeah, trying to play the hero here, and he runs over, pushes a guy out of the way, and then is like, and then like to Gabriel is just like, Gabriel, run! I did all the work, now go. That's what
shoulder checked one guy.
Yeah, now you're free. Get the hell out of here.
Somehow this is you're fine. Nobody has guns here. Also, you're thinking like all of these redcoats have guns. Like, what are you thinking is going to happen? They're just going to be like, oh, it's cute. You tried to help your brother.
Yeah, it does seem like it's someone who's like read like not comic books, like whatever the equivalent is. Like he's read like the hero's story so many times and now he's acting it out. But like it very much falls short because Jason Isaacs yeah. just straight up like pulls out a gun and shoots him.
Right in the back. Mm-hmm. Oh, shit.
And I was like, I remember though, as a 10-year-old being like, wait, like you can do that in movies? Like, wait a minute.
Kill a kid?
You just kill kids? Yeah. I remember being fucking shocked as like a 10-year-old being like, what do you mean?
Yeah, this can happen. Holy shit.
Like insanity.
Yeah, it's like in Scream 5 when Jack Quaid is like, wait, you can kill the sheriff? Like things like that. It's like, oh shit, all bets are off.
Yeah, everybody's on the table. Yeah.
We can kill everybody.
It's so funny. But yeah, and then like it is devastating. Like you're just like, Mel Gibson's like freaking out, like he's ledger,
like the life literally leaving his face,
yeah,
and getting pale,
and then
nothing we can do with this,
yeah, especially. And then just like, and then Jason, you know, Tavington, like just fucking brutal line, one-liners, like stupid boy. And I was like, oh, like
that's just not what you say to Mel Gibson after you kill a member of his family.
Yeah, because like
movies have taught me anything.
This motherfucker gets his tomahawk, he gets his gun, his two oldest sons, and it's like, we're going. And I feel so
his
bad.
His two oldest sons, which at this point are like,
or like 9 and 10. Yeah.
One is like, he's like, I'm ready for this. This is my moment. And the other one is like, I am a child.
No, he's so scared. And like, he literally,
the only son he doesn't take with him is Logan Lerman. Also, Logan Lerman has like no words,
lines in this one.
But I knew it was him. I was like, it's him. And I only really knew it was him is because the next year in 2001, he's in Riding Cars with Boys and he looks literally identical.
That's crazy.
It's literally him. It has to be him. And Chuck is like, oh, but his name didn't come up. I'm like, it's him. And
well, I guess he was probably uncredited.
Yeah. So I like IMDb'd it and it was him. I was like, I knew it. So yeah, Logan Lerman gets to hang back with the sisters, but the two sons. We're shooting.
Yeah. And like, it is like, again, this is like a really tense scene because they're like in the woods. And like, it does foreshadow like how Benjamin Martin, when he joins the army, is going to like, this is how he's going to bring his expertise.
Yes.
Because literally they're like hiding in the woods and then ambush the army and just like, they go to town. Like they like shoot a bunch of them. And like, there's, this is where we get like the iconic line, aim small, miss small. Yes. And like, again, like, I guess that was something that was, that like the, what would you call it? Like the gun, like the person who like taught Mel Gibson and like those guys, like how to shoot.
Yeah.
He would say it because like, what it means is like, if you aim for a man, you'll probably miss the man. But if you aim for a button, you'll miss, like, you'll like probably still hit like a person.
Yeah.
That's actually a very good, like, theory, you know.
Yeah, no, like it works. And like he said that, like he would say that. So then Mel Gibson incorporated it into the script because he was like, that's like, I feel like that is something I would tell my sons. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And so then, but then when the tomahawk comes into play, holy shit, it's crazy. And it's funny because like there's like moments of like very crazy hyper-violence in this movie where like a lot of it like is just like kind of bloody, like you see bullets, like all of that. But then like just like certain scenes where like out of nowhere, like, you know, he like hits the guy with the tomahawk and then he like just goes apeshit on the body.
Rage. But then when you're talking, there were scenes that felt very PG-13 violence.
Yeah.
At the same time. So it was like if you cut out certain things like that, or when that guy gets completely destroyed.
The head decapitated.
By the cannonball.
Cannonball. When you like take out that, this honestly, some of it felt very PG-13 violence, which was interesting.
I think probably though, like because Tavington is so over the top, like crazy, like violent and like is killing people, I think they were like, I think content wise they probably would have, even if they had like toned it all down, they probably couldn't have gotten a PG-13. So maybe that's why they were just like, you know what,
fuck it,
we'll get, throw that, like get that guy's head like off the screen.
It does feel like the like R-rated stuff is like condensed into like a few scenes. a few intense moments. The cannonball thing with the head, that's that one always like made my like parents be like, oh my gosh. But the part to me that always stuck with me that was like canon related was like the other cannonball part where it's like just bouncing in the field and ends up like taking like three dudes in a row's legs off.
Yeah,
I was like, see, oh my God.
No. See, that's because that's like, I think the first time I realized, like, I always thought cannons were, I don't know, like, I guess I thought they were bombs, like, but really like these
hitting. Yeah.
But these are just like fucking like just these big ass metal balls that are just like wrecking you.
Yeah, no, they just go like right through you. And
it's like, where does it end up? Like at a certain point, does it just like stop?
Yeah,
or like
does it like hit a tree?
Whatever it takes out, then it just stops. But yeah, no, that was some, it was weird. It was also, this is 2000 and we've talked about how like violence has been, it is like evolved that like an R-rated movie now, you're like, oh, holy shit, if this was like 1996, that would have been getting NC-17,
like an X rating or whatever.
For like how long it took like Wes Craven to get an actual R rating on Scream, and you go back and you watch Scream and you're like, what?
It's like, it's fine. It's like literally, unless you're like, except for like Drew Barrymore's guts,
that's literally it. And that was a big part of it, was
yeah,
they were like, oh, cut like 3 seconds. I was like, how is 3 seconds detrimental, like,
right,
to somebody versus like you watch like a Hostel or a Saw?
Oh yeah, and I can't,
and you're like, oh my god, this is so grotesque. So it's like, it's interesting that in 2000 maybe they were like, oh, this is so,
this
much
is a lot,
and now it's like,
sure,
you look back at it, you're like, oh, this isn't even that bad.
Yeah, comparatively, for sure.
Which I find, because I remember, I always remember the ideal of like the Patriot is so hyper violent. It's so hyper violent. And I watched it and I was like, is it?
Like, sure, in certain parts. But again, like it is like, it's like,
for sure.
Again, so it's always like, it's when Benji Martin goes like
good old Benji.
You know, when he loses, when he goes a little crazy after his son died, he like, you know, has a little bit of therapy on this meat carcass.
Yeah. Who needs to talk to a therapist when I can just
like be a butcher for a second? Yeah.
That's the best form of therapy right there.
But yeah, no, so we do notice though that there's one guy who is able to, like, survives this incident.
Yes, he does.
Like, he sees Benjamin Martin, like, walking away. Luckily, right. He was smart enough to, like, fucking, like, not say shit and, you know.
Ha, just, like, play dead. That feels so good as me, Benjamin Martin, having killed all these redcoats.
Yeah. But, they find him basically, and they take him, and they're tending to this guy's wounds, and like they're trying to like figure out who did this. They think they're like, they can't believe that it was one person, because like when the guy's talking, granted, he does sound, I mean, he's gone through an ordeal, but like he's just like, no, it was one man. Yeah, he literally is.
And one man and two children, which maybe makes it more hilarious.
I mean, I think like it, like look, like he didn't know that it was two kids. But like, can you imagine him like trying to like tell that to Colonel Tappington, being like, listen, it was a guy and his two kids, swear to God, crazy.
He killed like, us all except me.
Except like, me.
This is what happened.
But yeah, no, and then the guy is just like, so he, like, so Tappington's just like, wait, so he was there, and then he just disappeared. Sounds more like a ghost. And then the guy's just like, yeah, a ghost. That's exactly what he's like. And then,
who is our ghost?
And literally, that was, like, the first time, too, like, we see, like, before Tappington goes into the tent, like, he's doing this, like, weird thing where he's, like, catching fireflies with his hands.
Yes, you're right.
And again, I was like, I did not remember that. before, and I was just like, wow. I was like, again, he pulls it off, but it's like a little on the nose.
Yeah, and he just like kind of looks at it.
Like he's looking at them. Like I was like, because I remember seeing a deleted scene where he I felt like it was like them trying to humanize him a little bit, because he's like, he like has some flowers and he's just like, oh, such a beautiful country, or like something like that. And then like someone's just like, hey, like we got this dude, and like he kind of like visibly like looks tired for a second, like where he's just like exhales, and then like, but then like the mask goes back on, and then we like, it was,
that's interesting,
it was a deleted scene. And like again, because I think they don't explore it except for that one part, maybe that's why they cut it.
It would have felt a little weird, but at the same time it would have been interesting if just one
certain thing,
or
about
things
him.
Like that was sprinkled in, that you were like, oh, this is this man that's doing his job, versus we just feel like this is a man that's getting pleasure out of doing these things.
Right.
Which I think also would contrast with like later when he does like the big bad.
The big bad. Yeah.
Like I think if we had humanized him to the point where it's like, oh, he's just a tired guy trying to get through all this, that would have felt maybe out of character, like too far for someone with that motivation. So like maybe they were just like, oh, let's just make him a monster the whole time.
Yeah. Because like he has to, like this plot thing has to happen. Yeah. So, but one of the things that like Jason Isaacs talks about in the just like his own characterization for it, where like, you know, they never like explore it, but he was like, you know, like mostly it was a lot of like noblemen who had these like ranks in the army. But like for him, he was saying that he thought, because he definitely seems like he's very determined to stay in America. Like there's clearly like nothing to like go back to in England for him. Like he doesn't seem to want to go back even before
he mentioned something about like his dad having squandered his inheritance and good and all that stuff.
So like he has nothing there. So he's trying to like, he's trying to win this war, because they say like, if you win the war, then like they're going to like distribute land to these soldiers. And I guess like also too, like, there's that mentality of it being like, oh, well, you know, he's like, he's desperate to win because he's desperate to like get his like standing back.
Yeah. Do you make more sense for if you were like focused more on him in a way that you're like, oh, these motivations make sense, but no, he's just purely evil.
Yeah.
Because we're not understanding any of this.
But like that, like it's also like a throwaway line. Like he's just like, it's him saying it, like he's saying it like with disdain to Cornwallis, where he's like, I don't have the luxury of being a gentleman. Like my fucking dad like drank all of my money, like basically.
Yeah. And so it's basically like from a like probably like narrative point of view, it's probably just literally to get him to that point where he's like, great, what awful thing can I do and like agree to do, you know, in order to like secure myself my shit. But like, yeah, it's just almost like a, just like the plot device line to get him, his character to the point where he will then do the awful
anything.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there were moments where he was in the scenes with Cornwallis where he felt small in that everything that Cornwallis was like really orchestrating it all. So at times that almost took me out of the nature of like who he is and what he does, because you almost like, not really humanized him, but you almost felt like, oh, you don't really have a choice in anything that you're sort of doing. And I was like, oh, I kind of feel bad for you in this moment. But then you do all of these things that are just like so terrible that it takes away from any of that.
Well, it's like, it's like this weird, like, it's like that, that thing where like, you're like, oh, the bully at like the bully at school, like this is his home life. It kind of seems like they're trying to do that a little bit, but like not really committing to that idea. Because like, clearly I was like, we were joking about it where I was like, damn, he's the one with the daddy issues. Like he's the one like following Cornwallis around like a fucking puppy. Oh,
got like two sets of daddy issues.
Yeah, exactly. Like clearly whatever was going on with his real dad. And then like this like authority, like, and I think it is like, it's like a problem with authority. Mm-hmm. Because like he clearly like cowers in front of Cornwallis when he's like in front of them, but then as soon as Cornwallis is like not around, he just like does what he wants.
Yeah.
Yeah, very true.
So, you know, so at this point though, Ben saves Gabriel. They like go, they go find, like they go to Aunt Charlotte's, right? Like
that's where they went. Like to
drop the kids off.
Yeah, like get the kids off.
Because they have no house because it just
burned down.
Literally burned down. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they go find Chris Cooper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good old. Like, this cast is stacked.
It's a stacked cast for sure. But like there is like the whole thing though at Aunt Charlotte's, because at this point they're like, okay, well, let's like figure out what we want to do. We'll go to this, like, I think that's the first time they bring up the that's the first time they bring up the island with the free slaves. They're like, we'll go there.
I'd live there in a second. Shit.
Like they're right off the beach. They're like hanging out. Cool, they got these, they got these cool huts. Like it's great. But basically, like Gabriel's just like, well, I'm gonna go. Like I got
to go back to war.
Yeah, back to wartime. And like they get into this like big fight, and you know Mel Gibson is just like, you can't go. Like your place is with us now. And he's like, no, my place is, I'm a soldier. I gotta go. Bye.
Yeah. Sorry,
and they like start like they duke it out, not duke it out, but like they're like yelling at each other. And you know, again, iconic line where Gabriel's just like, I'm not a child. You're my child.
Oh, that hits though.
Yeah. No.
But then he throws the parental guilt at him, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's walking away. He's like, Gabriel, Thomas is dead. How many more have to die before you listen to me? And like, for a later thing, like that sticks. That sticks in Gabriel's brain for the rest of the movie.
Yeah. And like the thing is, like the look on Heath Ledger's face, like he does look devastated.
Yeah.
And like, but like it's not enough to like keep, like he leaves.
It's like we know Heath Ledger won an Oscar, but at the same time, it's like I still feel like he's underrated at the same time.
Oh yeah, no, he was like, such good work.
Because as much as I truly wonder if he had not passed, would he have won for the Joker? It's a great and iconic line. I mean, not line, role, but at the same time, you're just like
well, yeah, no, I don't know.
But then they do also prove that even though you do pass away, we're still not going to give you that Oscar because it happened with Chadwick Boseman. So who knows?
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's like everybody's like, oh, he's got it in the bag. I mean, it is definitely such a formidable performance, but it's like there were just so many more roles that he could have had and performed. And it's like, and he proved how good he was beyond just being a beautiful face. And I think that was what he's like, I don't want to be these roles. I want to prove that I'm actually an actor and I can do it. And
no, absolutely.
It's tragic that we lose these people like him and Brittany Murphy. And it's just like,
no, it's very sad. Very sad.
They could have done beyond that. But yeah, I do say it's like, oh, sure, he won an Oscar. But at the same time, it's like, is he still somewhat underrated?
Because I think so. I do think a little bit.
Movie like that.
Well, like the thing is, that part did not need to be as well acted as it was. Like, you know what I mean? Like, literally, they could have just like, and again, no shade to Josh Hartnett. Again, I love him. I don't think he would have brought the same nuance that Heath Ledger did.
Josh Hartnett is great at certain things. Like within, like, you know, Pearl Harbor, you're like, whatever. But like in The Faculty, I'm like, damn, like, he's I was great. Like, this is perfectly cast.
And Penny Dreadful, no, yeah. Like, I think, like, he's somebody, he needs somebody,
boy is yeah. making a resurgence, and I am here for it.
Love that.
I'm so excited, because everybody and their mother and brother, sisters, aunts, uncles are in this Oppenheimer thing that,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and he's in it.
Is it Christopher Nolan?
Yeah, the new
it
Nolan is. Film, yeah. Everybody's in it, and he's in it, and I'm like, yes, I'm like, I'm here
we'll
for
see.
It.
Yeah.
Let's do it, Josh.
Yeah,
watch him be in it for like 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's the thing, right?
How much time for all of these people, truthfully.
Yeah, yeah. Dane DeHaan is in it.
Is he in it?
Yeah,
who he's isn't in this yeah. movie? Like, everybody's in it, so yeah, you make the great point, they're gonna be in it for 2 minutes.
Yeah. But maybe, hey, maybe it's like the best 2 minutes in the whole movie.
Maybe.
Who knows? But yeah, so though at this point though, because Gabriel's gone off, Benjamin is just like, well, all right, time to go to war. I've put this off long enough.
Yeah.
So he does catches up with Gabriel. And that's when they're like in that like abandoned house. And we see that scene where like the cannon like rips
takes
through.
The legs,
that,
yeah.
Yeah.
That was this.
But like, we're also getting this narration of like, of Mel Gibson being like, this kind of warfare is not going to win.
Why
us
would you
the
fight
war.
The British this way? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, this guy's an idiot.
Don't listen to him.
Yeah. You know? But so like we see that, and then they go to the camp and Chris Cooper's there and is like, well, I guess I'm in charge. The dude like just like took off. He's like, he peaced out real fast.
Yeah.
So that's when we get like the thing where it's like, okay, well, if we keep Cornwallis in like, where are they in North
South Carolina?
South Carolina.
South Carolina. Yep.
And he's just like, well, okay, well, we got to keep them here because like the French say they're going to come, but like, it's going to be 6 months at the earliest.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, fuck. And like, at this point, that's when we see that, like, of course, Benjamin still has like some prejudice against the French because of like the war and everything. Cause he's just like, oh, so you're going to trust the
French buddy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just like, yes, you could trust the French. Yeah. Oh, and then like they clearly like, so this guy who doesn't own slaves just like really fucking hates the French. Like,
it's
all right,
on brand for him. Like, as like Jenna was talking about how like, oh, it's interesting because Mel Gibson, I feel like he's put these African Americans in these movies, and then at the same time, yeah, he's revering these people, but he just really hates Jewish people.
He's like, it's so like, weird. He's just like very racist in like a completely like different, yeah, in a different way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, it's like, oh no, I just hate that. Like, the Holocaust didn't exist. Like, he just believes
so
in that, which is so disgusting.
It's
but
so
at the same time, he's like, oh, but I'm not racist. Like, you know,
yeah, it's
I have Black friends. Like, it's like, oh my God.
You know, he would have, yeah. I do wonder if Mel Gibson would say something like, I would have voted for Obama a third time if I could have.
Yeah, yeah, very ghetto vibes. Yes.
But like, yeah, so there's like friction between him and the French guy right off the bat, because like everybody does know, and like they hint at whatever happened in the French and Indian War, like they know something fucking happened, because they're right. Like, apparently everybody, anytime he comes in, like they're just like, ah, oh, you during the
you're
French
the
and
hero.
Indian War,
you're the hero,
yeah,
they're,
we're gonna buy you drinks, and like, yeah, that's something Heath Ledger talks about later, where he's just like, men always buy you drinks, and like they know more about you than I do, because like, it's very much like hinted at, or like the subject is danced around.
Yes.
Yeah. Mel Gibson and clearly doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah. Does not. And like, he even says, he's like, well, I told your mom
oh, yeah,
about
your mom,
it.
Yeah.
And he's like, there's a reason why there's like a 4-year like gap between you and Gabriel, or you and Thomas.
Yeah.
So like, clearly she like did not have anything to do with him for a while.
Yeah. I was like, I need to warm up to you again, sir.
I mean, clearly it was fine then, because
then
she just rabbits.
Eventually.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I have 4 years of celibacy. I need
to. Yeah, 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 yeah. She's just like,
let's just do it.
She's just horny again.
What else is there to do in 1770?
That's what I always say. I was like, this is the reason they had all these children, because sex was the entertainment.
Yeah. Like, well, and also too, there were farmers, so like they needed the help around the farm. It's
yeah,
like,
for sure.
this the fun time that we're having is going to lead to helping with the farm.
Exactly.
So it's like a win-win.
Yeah.
Right. And so.
And his farm was a tobacco farm, which we see in the first scene when he's making the chair. Like, that barn has just got tobacco hanging all over.
Yeah.
It took me forever to actually realize that that was tobacco. I was like, oh, cool. Like, weird drapes or like whatever. You know,
yeah,
I'm a
kid.
Like, I don't understand.
This man goes to make a bang.
But yeah, so at this point, though, he's like appointed the leader of the militia. So he's right. Like, all right, we got to recruit people. We got to keep them down
here. How they're like, sir, I know you're against this, but please lead us.
Yeah. Well, like, I do
but
think
he's
like,
so good at it. So, like, I get it.
And it makes sense that he would be like asked to lead the militia because, like, right. Yeah, it's right. He really doesn't have any, he doesn't respect the way like the regulars are fighting because he's just like, this is stupid.
Yeah,
like,
I'm going to do it better.
Yeah. So he basically, they all like round up a bunch of like,
they just go into a bar and like say like this one line that was like, oh, if they react a certain way, we know we got them. And they were like ready to like shoot them and kick them out of the bar. It's like, all right, we came to the right
place. Yeah, so like God save King George.
Right? Yeah.
God save King George. And like literally they get like a knife thrown at them.
Yeah. that's one of those points where you're like, oh, some parts of the movie is really like, oh, hard R, like violence. That was a point where it's like, oh, what a cartoon.
Yeah.
Where they like go in, like
funny.
Say a line.
Like, that's hilarious.
Get mad and they shut the door
for, like,
and the knife sticks
like,
in.
Sign on the dot, be like, oh, please sign your name, and you have the cute little redhead kid that's like, I'm ready to like fight. And his dad is like, nah, it's okay. Also, we were joking, we were like, why is this child in, I know it's 1776,
in a bar,
like,
yeah,
holy shit, this is the child. And Jenna's like, oh, it must be dad's night.
Yeah
I was gonna say, yeah, it's dad's night, and like maybe they need the kid because when dad gets like shit-faced at this bar,
yeah,
he needs the son to be like, hey,
let's go
home. We're like, yeah.
Little, like,
so cute.
Like,
this kid is so cute.
Yeah.
But he's like, yeah, he's like, I want to kill me some redcoats. And I was like, oh, so cute. And then it's like, so the dad, though, is like an old friend of Benjamin's, where he's like, his time will come or something like that. And
Mel
Gibson's like, oh, I was hoping you'd show up. Hell yeah. So he signs up to
we
come.
We need you type of a situation.
And like Heath Ledger, though, goes into this town and his picks are like a little bit more refined, I guess.
Yeah, Mel Gibson like, goes and finds like his old war buddies and like the rough and tumble like frontiersmen, and Heath Ledger's like, well, I'm gonna go to a town with like a bunch of upstanding Christian gentlemen.
Yeah, you know? Hey, Dad, I brought a priest.
Yeah,
I brought priest, this priest.
My hat.
Oh yeah,
that goddamn priest. The whole movie, I was like,
Anytime there was a scene, Bailey is just like, I swear to God, if this fucking priest goes, and I'm like, oh man,
I was like, dude,
boy.
He's just. In over his head.
Yeah, because like,
oh, this priest. I felt it. And of course, it had to be a priest because Mel Gibson is like Catholicism, like, what's up? And I grew up Catholic, so I'm like, oh, the priest.
But so Gabriel finds like some people from the town. He reunites with like the girl that he had talked to in Charlestown.
Yes.
They'd been like childhood acquaintances,
yeah,
and like
cute little like
she's pretty. She's
oh,
so
one,
pretty.
One of my two crushes.
Again, yeah, of course. But like she's also super plucky and like has the monologue about how she's like, hey, like you guys are patriots, and I know you guys feel in your heart the way I do, so you guys need to go fight. And like does like this whole rousing thing, and then like it does get like people to sign up. And
hey, there's nothing better than shaming someone into enlisting in the
hell
army.
Yeah. She's really good at it. Yeah. And like, and that's when Heath Ledger's like, wow.
He's like, I'm looking at this.
That's girl. The one.
Yeah,
that's the one.
That's wifey right there. That's what he's.
Yeah,
saying.
And like, so then he gets permission to write to her. And again, like, this is like, cartoon stuff where it's like, her dad is hard of hearing, so he's got like contraption.
The horn, the ear horn.
What'd you say?
Yeah, and like again, like it's like there is like moments of like pretty like decent like lightheartedness,
which is hilarious within a movie that's
like pretty brutal. But again, like that's why
you
I think like
it
works.
You need a little bit of
Oh, if it was like brutal the whole time, it'd be like a slog to get through.
Yeah, exactly.
You need that like the moments of courtship, because courtship was very in then. So it's like
it was all the rage.
All the rage.
Yeah.
He wants to write her. Like, this is so cute. They can like write to each other.
Right. No, it's nice. It's nice. And they basically they write off and they're like they're hanging out in the swamp, basically. Like that's where their camp is. And Oh, there's the one guy who like writes off his who like says like my slave will fight for me.
Right.
He's like, he's old.
Fuck that dude.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, no. And then
I mean, his excuse was like, oh, I've got too many ailments. I wouldn't last a day, you know,
here's but like strapping gentleman, because Jordan Peele has told us how they're superior to us. It's like, that's, it's like a very, very Jordan Peele moment. I'll just let this like specimen fight for me because
it's crazy. It's crazy. But then, of course, there's like the guys that are like being like hella racist. And it's like there's the guy who's just like. He's like, ew, I don't want him to fight with me, blah, blah, blah. And he's being super annoying.
Yeah. And he has another scene of that later when he's like, yeah. What, we're going to pay him to?
Yeah. And it's like, ugh, gross. Like, you're just like, I get it. But I will say at the very end when he like has his, when he does have his redemption, like I always like tear up at the very end when he says.
Just like, I love Donald Logue. I'm like a Donald Logue
fan. Yeah, yeah.
I love Grounded.
Oh, he's very good.
Donald Logue is fantastic as an actress. So I think it's like that pays off so much better because you have somebody like Donald Logue playing that character.
Yeah.
Versus somebody else, you're like, forget you.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, all of this comes full circle. And you feel that moment where he's like, he truly says, like, I'm generally honored to be aside. And it's because this gentleman had saved his life.
Too. And that's the thing. So that's the thing.
And it's was like, still fighting, even though he was technically free now.
Yeah.
And didn't have to fight. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
And so like, good. Donald Logue, like, was like, you don't need to be here, but like, thank you for being here. And I'm honored to be beside you.
And again, it makes me cry every time.
Like, I felt it. And it's because the acting and the who was portraying that character sold that.
But this is why, like, I really want blockbusters to go back to like this format. Because again, we do talk about how there are problems with this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, there are issues. It's like very one-sided. Like, there are clearly problems with this
movie. And it definitely has a heavy layer of whitewash over a lot of elements of American history, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And so like there's definitely problems with this movie, but it's so well acted. Like, the acting is what elevates it. Like, that's what it is. And like now though, like a lot of blockbusters, you're just like, damn, like,
yeah,
I don't give a shit about like any of these characters.
Yeah. And not to like make light of the plight of like African-American people during that time, but like that scene with like Donald Logue and him at the end, it just gives me straight up the same vibes as like the end of the third Lord of the Rings, right? When, you know, when Gimli's like, oh, I never thought I'd die next to an elf, right? And Legolas is like, well, what about next to a friend?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. It's like that same kind of vibe.
And it also has that feel of like the idea of like you're talking about whitewashing, but sort of the white savior, because we're like
sympathizing
with the white character at this point, being like, oh, I accepted this like African American. It's like, fuck you.
Even to the point where the guy's like, here, I'm signing him over to her. And Mel Gibson's like, oh, can you make your own mark, guy? And he's like, why? He can't write. Like, I already signed him to you. Why? And Mel Gibson's like, it's a point of like, I need him to make his own mark. And it's like, he'll do it, but he's not volunteering. Yeah. Like, he's still getting the white like
you cringe.
Yes.
Yeah. But at the same time, you're like, oh my God. Like,
but again, because of the acting, and again, like there is that payoff at the end, because when the way he looks at him when the guy says that, I'm honored to serve by you.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh,
yeah.
Just like stab me in the heart.
That it's like he genuinely feels like I am, because that was always the thing that was like interesting, that like these people would go to war with people of just so many different races of them. And then like the idea of like, then you come back to your home and it's like, oh, you live in the South where it's racist, but you've just fought with these men. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's very interesting that it was like, oh, we'll go to war with them. And there's like, honestly, no race in war, weirdly. But then when we come back home, there's just like terrible racism.
Back to racism.
Yeah. All right. Well, like, back to our regularly scheduled racism.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God, it's just so off-putting.
Yeah. But so so that guy is like being a dick to him though, and is just like, oh, well, I don't think we should fight with you. And I don't think you should be paid. Like, he's like this whole thing. And, you know, I think at one point Gabriel is talking to the guy and is just like, don't listen to them. They don't know shit.
Yeah.
And
because that's one of the things about the movie is Gabriel is always painted as like, he's the idealist. Like, he's the for the cause, for the ideals, for the right and just and
freedom. And like, and is like, and that is extended to other like people of color as well, because he's like, you know, like this world, this world is not perfect, but we have the opportunity to build a new one. And that's like what he brings up. And so
just you wait to see how terrible America.
Yeah, actually did not. Gabriel.
Not as new as they thought they were.
Yeah, getting, actually, so. Gabriel did not call it properly.
And we didn't age well, Gabriel, but your heart was in the right.
Yes.
And we didn't talk about it yet, but there's one like through line about like throughout the movie, which is that Mel Gibson is consistently melting down Thomas's little toy soldiers to make
bullets. Yes.
Yeah.
And he's always doing that. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because the last one, and we'll get into that last battle, the last bullet is for Tabitha. Oh, it's so good. But anyway, yeah. So they go into this whole thing where it's like they have their militia.
Yeah.
And they now they're gonna like start attacking the
like raiding supply lines and camps and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's cool. Like, it is pretty exciting stuff.
You get a little war montage of like successful rebels.
Yeah.
You
know? They're just like, yeah, we did it. And like, they managed to get one that has like Cornwallis's, like his personal
journals and letters and like uniforms and like dress clothes and dogs.
Yes. The dogs that then Mel Gibson like is like, these are my dogs.
Now. Yeah. The Great Danes.
Yeah. But like he takes those journals and then starts to read them. And he even has a line where he's like, well, I've just been in the mind of a genius. This guy knows everything about war. He's brilliant.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, cool. Why don't
that sucks. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, you want to give us some good news or is that it?
So what you're saying is our enemy is the most opposite of an idiot he could possibly be. Yeah.
It's like vastly superior in every way. Cool. Glad we're all on the same page now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like he even
But that's where he finds his weakness though too, right? Or his potential weakness.
Yeah, that's what he says. Yeah. Yeah. He's basically like, oh, well, you know, he has pride. Like he's not gonna ever think he's wrong.
And he has absolute contempt for militia. Like he's seen the militia lose every fucking time. And he knows it. We know it. He knows we know it. Like, you know, like it's that whole thing.
That's the exchange I really like,
well, maybe that's a weakness. And someone's like, what do you mean? He's like, pride. Pride's a weakness. And then the French guy's like, I would have preferred stupidity.
Yeah.
Like, well, pride will do.
Exactly. Pride will do. And at this point, they're just getting like shithoused on like their wine. Like, wine.
Drinking the good shit that was on the way to the fucking general.
Yeah. But like, so they use these, the dress clothes basically, because that's how they sneak onto the ship. No, it's great. It's so good. They sneak onto this boat that's like right outside of this like big plantation, like that
Cornwallis is there. Thing, yeah.
Yeah. For like this party. And Cornwallis is pissed because he, at this point, he's like, why are we still here? I don't understand. What do you mean militia is the reason we're that I'm still here? That doesn't make any sense.
I should be back in England, like, bitch.
Like, come on, I should have won this war.
We should at least be in like Virginia or New York or like
because like they're trying to make it like all the way up. And basically, so they he gets pissed because he finds out that his clothes, like, he has like nicer clothes that are on this boat, and he's just like, wait a minute, what do you mean like we have supplies and like why am I still like in these clothes or these rags, like, he said.
My Gucci is on
the horse blanket.
It's a very nice horse blanket.
Yeah.
But they were like, oh, well, Tavington said that we should like get the ammunition off, which is actually true.
That's like the right choice to
do. Know that your fucking clothes took precedence to our guns that we need for this war.
No.
Sorry, Pops. But then, so when they're doing that, though, like, it's actually the militia in the coats, and they go on and they bomb the ship.
Yeah.
And of course, like there's like the woman, this high society woman who just gets really excited and she's like, ooh, it's fireworks.
Yeah. One of our like two or three other women besides two that are characters.
Yeah. Just gets one line just to seem like a total fucking dummy.
This is like very much like, even though Jenna loves it, this is very much like a man, fuck yeah type.
Oh, it's true. It's actually like it's a very masculine. Like this movie, this is like primo, like your dad falls asleep to this movie on TNT after grilling. Like I don't usually like this kind of movie.
Which is fine. I mean, it had elements of what you would be attracted to. So like,
oh yeah, sense. Daddies. Yeah.
But it's like, and also it's just funny that it's like a very like dude
centric.
Big time. Yeah.
Yeah. But so they bomb this place, and like it seems like the militia are just like they can do no wrong.
They're killing it.
They're doing great. But so then this scene, I never thought of it before, but in this one, the militia actually just like come out into the open and are like, hey, surrender your shit. And it's like, so did they get cocky? Like, why did they change up the formula here?
I wouldn't know. My guess is just to be like, hey, maybe we don't just straight up cold-blooded murder everyone. What if we just stole everything and left all the soldiers, right?
But right. Like, well, because they do have that thing where like there's one ambush where they kill everybody. So maybe you're right. Maybe
someone's like about to surrender and one of the tough guys like shoots him in the head, and then the people from the village and the idealists are all like, whoa, that's not okay. And then they have to have kind of a debate about it.
So I
think it is after that, right? So maybe they're like, okay, we're gonna be a little more like, oh, we'll take some prisoners, I guess, kind of.
Right. But of course, when they do this, that's when like everything goes to hell, because I think at this point, like they're expecting like convoy. They're just like, nah, we're not gonna give you anything. And it's like, you guys just like give us your shit and you can go. But they're like, everybody like
they're ready for the standoff, and they're like, dude, all right, fine.
They open the supply wagons and out comes actually a bunch of soldiers instead of supplies, because it's a trap.
Yeah, it was a trap. Yeah. And so then that's where like they start to get ambushed, and then we see the dragoons start to like come down the hill. Mm-hmm. So they open fire, they're trying to leave, the racist dude gets shot, and then the black guy, like being a total G, like saves them. And it's so nice, because like at first like we're just like, nah, fuck that guy, leave him, but of course he's like a better dude, he's a better person than we are. clearly we're never gonna have arcs in movies, because like we're so revenge centric, like from the
joke. That's like the problem, is that like all of these individuals after, you know, like slavery, they just wanted to like be able to like live their own lives. And then it was just white man that kept being like, blah, 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 you know, getting into it. And it's like, just let us live our lives. Like, we're free now. And it's like, white man, just keep fucking everything up. Like,
I will say they do go into that too, because we didn't talk about this originally, but in the first scene with Tavington, he's like, hey, if you guys fight in the British Army, you'll get your freedom. And then the guy's like, well, we're already free. And he's like, all right, well, now you can fight for your country.
Then you'll have
England.
The privilege and honor of
being
the King's Army.
It's like,
right?
Wait, so like, you're just like straight up kidnapping
making
me?
Them slaves, essentially.
This happens. Jason Isaacs shows up. Like, there's like a very like, it's a close call. Like, none of like the main character, like none of the main guys get killed. Like, maybe some of the
a few nameless get killed.
So like morale is low, but like none of our buddies have been killed.
Yeah, but a bunch have been like captured, right? Because they all like show.
Like 18 people get captured. Yeah, and because like they all like take off and like scatter, basically. So yeah, a bunch of them are taken to where Cornwallis is, like in this like fort or whatever. And so what's his name? Benjamin's like, all right, I got a plan. And like, this guy is really good at coming up with plans on the fly. like I'm like, wow, I guess like this is why you're the leader. It makes sense.
They chose right, I guess.
Right. But like he basically they all like he shows up like with a white flag. He shows up to the thing and is like, hey, like, I want to talk to Cornwallis. And like, he brings the dog. So like, they're like, oh shit.
Oh, this is the guy.
This is the ghost. Ghost is here. Cause like Cornwallis at first is like, no, send him away, I'm busy. Even though all he's doing is like reading a fucking book and like getting shaved.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh no. Like they have dogs. So, you know, he's like, okay, well, let him in. he comes in and, like, you know, we get that little bit.
Admires the rocking chair.
Yeah, the rocking chair. It's like, what a callback.
Yeah. And it's like, this is so well made.
Like, yeah, he's like actually like looking under it, like he's like looking at a car.
And he like sits in it and it doesn't break. And he has that face of like, what was I doing? Like, I don't understand.
I should ask who made this.
But like so Cornwall shows up, like comes into the room, and he's like lifting it up, like looking under. And so then they sit down, and like both, like Cornwallis is like trying to be polite, but you can tell that he's like being like kind of a prick.
Real condescending. Oh, this motherfucker is like done.
Yeah.
At this point, like he's like, I'm done.
Yeah, he's like, well, I want my stuff. Like, I want my
dogs. I want my nice clothes. Well,
and even before that, he's like, hey, stop targeting officers when you're fighting us, please. You're like shooting the captains and stuff, and that's not cool. And Mel Gibson's basically like, okay, well then stop killing innocent people.
That's like a good moment, because all of a sudden, like, it goes from like them trying to be like conversational and like this, but then it gets really, really tense, because he's like, well, you guys need to stop targeting civilians. He's like, that's a separate issue. And he's like, no, they're linked.
As long as you do that, I will order the shooting of officers at every engagement, right?
Yeah. And then Cornwallis then just like changes the subject. He's just like, whoa. And like, it's like a chill is across, like comes into the room. And basically then he's like, oh, I want to do prisoner exchange.
Yeah. Oh.
And then like, again, like Cornwallis being an asshole is just like, I don't have.
You don't have any of my guys. Yeah. I don't have your guys even, right? Like, oh, I've got criminals, but they're not. Yeah. I mean, they're not.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah. But then Mel Gibson's like, well, we have like 18 of your men. And he's like, what are their names? He's like, oh, I don't know their names. But like, he lists off like ranks, some ranks. And,
yeah.
But then like, they like point off to a field, and it's like these red coats. So he sees them. And you would have thought that like he knows that like that uniforms have been stolen.
Yeah.
So you would have thought.
I think it's the detail when Mel Gibson's like, oh, here's all their ranks, and like one like fat particularly corporal. Fat colonel who called me a cheeky fellow. And he's probably like, I know that's probably just like a gambit, right? Like just a bluff. But like it's probably like, at least one of those British motherfuckers would say something like that.
Yeah.
John would
definitely. Yeah, so he'd have to be like, oh, that's probably what's his name. I haven't heard from him in weeks. God damn it. Like
So they're able to broker the exchange, and like as they're going, that's when Daddy rides into town.
Daddy comes home.
Yeah, and he like comes riding in, and like literally, we see Benjamin looking at him. I don't think Tavington notices him. Does he notice him?
They
on
make
the
eye contact, but he doesn't like. Clearly Mel Gibson is like having a moment, and Tavington is like, the fuck is this guy? Like, what's going on? Why are these people leaving? Right.
Yeah. And then like somewhere in that, like that's when it clicked, because he's told
that he's the ghost. Yeah. He's like, this guy's
the ghost.
And that's he's the
ghost. Fuck? Yeah. That's right. And then he's just like, Oh shit. So I do know who this guy is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then he like, again, just goes for like emotional devastation everywhere, because he like runs after him. He's like, I remember you on that farm with that stupid little boy. Did he die?
Everybody be like, dude.
It's like,
and then he tells him that he liked it. Like, he's like, oh, you know, like sometimes it sucks having to do your duty, but sometimes it's a real pleasure.
Yeah, and
he's
like, dude. Shit. I was like,
you're not redeeming this ass.
Yeah, not like, one bit. Not one
but then
bit.
You get a classic,
wait
like,
for when he's going to get his, you know?
Yeah, you get the Mel Gibson threat that every dad was probably like, fuck yeah. Because he goes, oh, before this war is over, I'm going to kill you. And it's like, okay.
Great. Yeah. And apparently, like, the last part, like, the last little bit was improvised, because Jason Isaacs said, why wait?
Yeah.
And then, like, they didn't think he was going to say anything. But then Mel Gibson, of course, it does make sense why he doesn't. But then he's like, soon. And, like, looks at his lips a little. And I was just like, what's going on?
You know,
are they going to kiss?
I love that. It's like, I can murder you right now, but I'm going to wait.
Yeah, I'm away.
Well, and I think on a practical level, that's a good showing of like his restraint over like we're in that part of the roller coaster where he's about to tell Gabriel like, hey, no revenge, go for the course, right? Like,
yeah.
And so here he could have revenge, but it would fuck over everything.
Everybody. Yeah.
So he I have to wait, and then like he makes the right choice here, and he'll be back on the revenge train later.
Yes, exactly.
It's coming.
But they leave. And like, again, so like at this point, I'm sure Tavinton feels like fucking castrated. Cause like, I think he was trying to provoke him into some kind of altercation so that then everything that they worked for would be like considered moot. Like if he like attacked him or like tried to stab him or do something, they'd be like, arrest this guy.
But or just shoot him. They'd probably just be like, fuck him.
Yeah. But like, then so they all go off, and like again we're just like, yeah, the militia, they're doing great, god, they're always one step ahead, these guys are cool. But at this point, because
Isaac coming for you,
what happens is he manages to steal the dog's bag.
It's like the little whistle and the dog's like,
because like the thing is like we see like a couple times that these dogs do not want to hang out with Cornwallis.
They're all about hanging out with Melly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so he steals the dog's back, and then like they go into the field, and it's scarecrows basically that are in the uniform. So at this point Cornwallis is pissed. It's super mad. I love
how his like underling just comes in and he's like, I got one of our prisoners.
One of our captured officers, my lord.
Yeah.
You guys know the right line. I clearly do not.
We have watched this so many times.
Yeah, it's been embedded in my brain. It's dumb.
He says it like in a smug ass way too, that I'm like, all right, you go.
Yeah. This guy's like clearly like, this is a dig.
Yeah. I love it. That's right. It's like, here he is.
But then at this point though, because Cornwallis is so mad, he basically then gives in to Tavinton as like, listen, you can like, because this whole time he's been like, yo, you need to show restraint. Like, because of your tactics, is this why this goes?
It looks bad on me. Like, I'm your superior. So you being a shit makes me look like a shit.
Yeah.
Stop looking like a shit.
get it together. So he's been doing this whole time. But now because he's so pissed, he's like, fuck it. Yeah. All right. You know what? You can do anything necessary to like figure out where this guy is and like capture it.
And the deal made there is that because he's going to do some bullshit,
like really hate
Tavinton will never be able to go back to England, so Cornwallis is agreeing to give some of the land grant that he just got from the king to Tavinton, so that he can like essentially, like what we were saying earlier, is like he's gonna set himself up here.
Part
of America.
And so, and this is when the tide turns, because then we hear like he starts like, you know, he's like burning down houses. He's like killing.
He's going after targeting their families.
Oh, he is going hard.
So it's brutal, because then we hear about these like houses that were burned down that are like across, like, what do they say? The Santee. Yeah. So like the guy with like the little redhead son.
And yeah, it's dumb that I know it, but the character's name is John Billings.
Yes. Billings.
The family Billings.
Yeah. And like, so he like, he's just like, wait, that's like where my family is. Shit. So they like ride there, and it's devastating.
Yeah.
Like the place is burned down. Like the wife has been killed. The kid is killed. And he's like clutching his hand is reaching for the little toy gun. Oh my God. It's awful. It's like the scene in Gladiator when he like finds his like wife kid.
And
he has literally nothing to look for.
Yeah. And like he looks crazed. He's like walking around. It's a devastating performance.
They're trying to like calm him down, and it's almost like that weird, like it's like that mix of like absolute grief and like utter confusion.
He doesn't know what he's like. Wait, what
do I do? Yeah,
exactly. So then, like at this point, like the priest is like, "Hey, like we need to pray. Like this isn't a time. This is a time for mourning." Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then he just like looks at all of them, and he's just like. And like Mel Gibson can't look at his face, like can't look at him.
Yeah.
And so he takes his gun and he shoots himself.
Yeah.
And it is horrifying. It is so sad.
Yeah.
And so then at this point, they're like, okay, well, everybody, let's take a week off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're all like, you get furlough. And it's like, oh, Jesus Christ. Okay.
Yeah. And like,
and he says, like, if you don't come back, like,
We won't hold it against you. Yeah, exactly.
We get it.
Make sure
your families aren't dead and go home.
Yeah. So then they go to the little island. Because what happened was Aunt Charlotte's place gets burned down.
Because they're going after the families. Yeah, that's what we were talking about earlier when she wakes up perfectly.
Perfectly dressed.
Yeah. And then they have like a little like storm shelter that everybody but Trevor Morgan goes
for some reason.
Because he's like, I've got to huddle under like this table with my
and then cock it so loud.
Trevor, I love you, but
what the hell? I was like, clearly this is like a plot device.
Yeah, of course. I'm glad you were able to like get outside of like underneath the table. So when Jason Isaacs just looks under the table, because that's what people do.
Sure.
Like on the outside of it and you're able to like live. But like, geez, what are you doing? We were like the whole time, we're like, the fuck are you not in the storm shelter?
Yeah, come on. You're trying to be a hero. Didn't you see what happened to the last brother that tried to be a hero?
Oh my God. Like, no, you don't need to be doing this.
So they managed to get them off. And like, that was when Heath Ledger shows up, they take him to that little town. And we didn't talk about this, but like the youngest daughter, like does not talk. Ever since her mom's death,
I think.
I guess that's what it was. I guess in the very beginning of the movie, I think she maybe had just recently passed away. Maybe that was relatively recently.
Yeah,
because like, I guess like they never really say, it's just like, oh, she's been dead. And I guess I had always assumed that she died in childbirth, but it wouldn't make sense that she's been.
Right. Why would the girl like
be traumatized?
Yeah. So yeah, I guess it like, maybe like it was fairly recent in the very beginning of the movie when the mom died. Mm-hmm. But then when they're taking them to the town, she basically starts talking to Gabriel.
Yeah, it's so cute.
It is cute. But then like we see that she clearly like has some like beef with her dad.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't want him to come back. I hope he never comes back. I hate him. Yeah. And it's like, whoa. So then of course, when like, I feel like Gabriel just shouldn't have said anything to his dad. Yeah. He just like lies to him and is like, oh, she's been talking
to his face.
Like lies and is like, she says she misses you and like she understands. Like, funny.
Also, understands why you can't be around.
Yeah. But like, it's really funny because like, if he had just not said anything, like maybe Mel Gibson wouldn't have expected anything.
Exactly.
But because he like gassed him up, like when they show up to the town, he's like, Susan, hi. Hello. And then she just fucking bolts ice cold.
Susan's a savage.
Yeah, because like he clearly cuts him to his core when she runs away from him.
It hurts.
Well, I mean, the whole reason that he went back and is like, fine, I'll fight this war that I didn't want is like literally like for revenge and for my kids.
Yeah.
Like those are the two things. And so then to have his kids, or at least one of his kids, hate him for it. Like,
damn, dude. But yeah, no, so they spend a week there. We find out that Gabriel has sent for Anne to sit for Anne so that they can get married.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, love it. And yeah, it's such a beautiful, like bohemian looking wedding.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, you realize like how much like a wedding like that would cost now?
Can you imagine how good the food probably was at that fucking wedding?
Like, I've always said I need to marry a rich man because I want to get married on the beach in San Diego where they film some like it hot.
Oh, the Hotel Coronado. Yeah.
Holy shit, would that cost so much? It's like a $100,000 wedding. But anyway, like rich man, hit me up.
There you go.
Santiago.
Yes. But like, yeah, no, so they get married. There's this whole thing. We see Aunt Charlotte and Ben, like, they. like they're like vibing, and like they've been kind of vibing the whole movie.
Oh yeah, ever since like the first scene of her where all the kids like accidentally bump them into each other, and they have that little like, I didn't mean to.
Always wondered that. It's like the whole time your sister's married to this man, where you're like, man, I wish he was boning me,
right? Yeah.
Or was it like only after she died that you guys are like, oh, they're kind of cute?
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Right.
I feel like all the kids are kind of on board with it. I want that.
All the kids are like, very on board with
it. Yeah, you're just like, I think it's because she's wealthy though. She's got creature comforts, so like it doesn't take much.
One to be like, this is your wife's sister.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This is mom. This is mom's sister. Like,
I mean, I guess back then that wasn't necessarily as uncommon as it would be now.
I think actually that was kind of a thing.
So are we to assume that like we never see the wife? We just assume it's the mom from The Parent Trap.
Oh, maybe. It says Natasha Richardson.
Natasha Richardson. That's the mom. That's their mom.
Yeah, canon. Go. It's canon now.
Yeah. Their mom, she had passed on, unfortunately, and then Jolie just comes right in.
Yes, swoops in. But, like, basically, there is that scene when they're, like, all, like, sleeping in the hut, and like he wakes up and she's already staring
at him. She's already staring at him.
Yeah. And I was like, man.
You gotta, like, divert your eyes a bit. Be like, I was not.
And when he wakes up and sees her, she doesn't even move.
Like, no.
She's like, this is how I'm going to get my man.
And honestly, I was like, God, it's a good thing you're hot, because like nobody else could pull this off.
If you're like an unattractive person, you'd be like,
yeah. You just see him
recoil. Why are you staring at me? Like, and he's like, go to sleep. He wakes up and he's like, all right.
Yeah. I was like, I guess if like a hot lady was just like very intensely staring at me, like, I'd be like, all right.
I'd be like, I guess.
Any hot human being was like looking at me though, I think at the same time I would feel like,
I was like, is there something on my face? Yeah. Like, I would just get nervous.
Have you been looking at me this whole time I've been sleeping? Like, yeah. Like the paranoia would just be
when
really what's happening is she just can't move. Her corset is still too tight.
Yeah.
No one has
noticed
that. Exactly. She's still sleeping in it. She never takes it off. Like, I have to wear my like uniform to work, and I'm just like, I hate this, because peeing for a woman, like a man, you can wear this. It's so simple. Me, I have to untake it. The belt's gotta come off. I gotta pull
out. There's a lot.
I'm like trying to be like, they're like, stay hydrated all the time. I'm like, hydrated means I'm gonna have to pee 58 times a day. Like, it's awful. So of course at times I can only imagine.
No, it's crazy.
Pee, ladies.
But like, she finally does shoot her shot with him at the wedding because in kind of a weird way, because she's like sitting, like they're sitting next to each other.
It's like on like the
on the beach, it looks
looking out
pretty.
At the
she's
water.
Like, yeah, it's a very romantic setting, but she's just like, I'm not my sister. And he's like, I know that.
To be fair, I'm like glad she said that. Like, you know, because like if I were her, the one thing I'd be worried about is like, am I just a stand-in for my sister?
Yeah. Right.
To him, right? Like,
that's a good point.
Yeah. That's true. I didn't think of it that way. Because like literally
we're sitting there being like, yeah.
We're like, yeah.
Because if she was like, I'm not my sister, and he was like, oh, all right. Yeah, never mind. Like,
yeah,
you'd be like,
imagine?
Oh, what? That's weird.
That's worse.
I'm not my sister. Yeah, I get it. But like, you're close enough.
Close enough would be, I think, the worst thing you could say.
Actually, that is the worst reaction.
Yeah,
for
like
sure.
Literally. It's like, ooh, okay.
But then, but he says, I know that. And she's like, I think she repeats it, doesn't she? And she says something else, and then he kind of like looks at her, and like the way she like reacts like to her, she's like, oh, like she, it's like she thinks she misread the situation.
Uh-huh. And he like,
but then he like, oh, the way he grabs her neck, come on. I like a good neck grab.
It's another one of those very masculine, like, you know, you actually like, if we think about it, you probably should ask before you like grab someone's neck and then kiss them. But like in the context of a movie, it's a very romantic gesture.
Like, the interesting thing of like, oh, we should always ask for consent. I'm like, but that's hot.
Yes.
It's a tricky line.
Because like, I think like if somebody actually did that to me, like, I feel like I would be startled. But like, yeah, when you watch it, you're like, God, that reads. Yeah. That reads so well.
It's very context driven. You gotta.
You go into the situation.
Well, we've also like, been seeing them like flirt. Like, we've seen them be flirting, but like not quite flirting for like.
Yeah.
an hour and a half at this point. So
we always talk about like the problem with Armie Hammer was like not having the safe word. If you go into like these,
well, and also 16-year-olds.
Well, yes, I don't know.
Yeah, double problem.
There were lots of problems.
I didn't realize that problem. I thought everybody was of age.
Nope.
So if you're of age and you don't have the safe word, that is your problem. But it's just like with this, it's like, oh, I'm in. Like we know what we're doing. We're getting to it.
Well, we've seen them yearning for each other. Yeah. An hour and a half. So like a forceful kiss, like it feels appropriate at this point.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying that I think it felt like raping.
No, I know. But no, it's just like it is like a thing though, because like again, like if we saw this in real life, we probably wouldn't react to it the way we react to it.
Right.
Yeah.
The context and the buildup to it.
Yeah. And so then like they kiss, it's great. And like, it's the now the end
happy.
Of, it's the end of furlough. They got to go back. Mm-hmm. And
you got to love that point towards the end of the second act when everyone is so happy. You got to love that point.
And again, like this scene though, wrecks like, me every time.
Married,
yeah.
The necklace.
So they're all saying goodbye. He's trying to get Susan to like, just say goodbye. And like she won't. Mm-mm-mm. And like, and then he like goes to hug her and she like recoils. And like the way Mel Gibson, like that acting moment where he then like kind of like wraps his like own arms around himself and he's like, okay. And like, again, they're just like, shit, dude. Like that lands so hard. And so he and Gabriel are like riding off. And then Susan breaks. And then she's like, Papa, come Papa. Back. And it's devastating.
So freaking cute.
She's like so cute.
She is
she's
really
like,
cute.
Yeah, and she's like running after him. And she's just like, I'll say whatever you
like
want.
Thing in her hand.
Yeah, the little doll.
Oh, yeah.
And so he runs back to her. They're like both crying. It is again heartwarming as hell. Mm-hmm. Like she's just like, don't go. And he's like, I'm gonna come back. I promise.
Yeah, promise
like, do you believe
back.
Me? Do you believe me? And she like nods. And of course he has
pretty
that line.
Promise.
Yeah, it is a pretty big promise. But like, what else can he do? What else is he gonna say?
Yeah.
Like it's like,
I will die. Get
like,
over it, Susan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, well, if you had talked to me earlier this week, Susan.
I might stay. Your fault.
Yeah, you.
This is all your fault.
Damn it,
but
Susan.
Like he said,
Thomas is dead. How many more have to die before you talk to me?
Before you listen to me. Like, damn, dude.
Can't use that on everything, Mel Gibson.
Yeah, it's like, Dad, come on. you said it once and it landed really hard, but it's not going to land every time.
Yeah. Oh, he doesn't have that line though, right? Where he's like, what is it?
You make me very happy.
Made me very happy.
Oh, yeah. It's so good. And then of course they embrace. Everybody's tearing up a little. It's great. Mm. But of course, all good things must come to an end.
Yeah.
And like at first I was saying like, oh shit, like they should have, like again, they knew they were targeting families. So like, I feel like they should have like stayed in this village.
Like, play, yeah.
But then again, like Anne's dad is like runs like a store.
Something. And he's like a big respectable guy like in the area. Like her dad is like a big, kind of a big shot in that little small area. It seems like.
So like it makes sense that then they come back. Yeah. Because then though, as soon as they come back, everybody, like the dragoons are already there, I think.
And it's pinnacle of movie, like, ugh, worst timing. It's like they come in right as they're there.
Yeah, you're like fuck, why couldn't you have just stayed another day? Come on, just be on vacation for a little bit. Damn it. But yeah, no, so they go, they all get rounded up into the church and, you know, they're asking for information and they're like, hey, where did they stay? Like, all this stuff. And then this one guy like breaks down and is just like, he gives them supplies. They're in the swamp. Fuck America.
Yeah. Like, I'll sell everyone out for my life.
Then like, it doesn't matter because then like Jason Isaacs is like, all right, cool. We'll board everybody up and fucking set the church on fire. At this point, Bailey is just like, what?
Yeah. And then there's that whole other line too of like, what, but you said we'd be forgiven. And indeed you may.
Yeah.
That's between you and God. Yeah.
I was straight like, oh.
And this is this scene is another moment in that we haven't really talked about it much, but in Adam Baldwin's character's little arc.
Oh,
because during when the guy was like the survivor of that initial skirmish, but where they coined the word the ghost, Adam Baldwin is in that scene and is like, oh, this is an American, like a colonist here, but he's joining our side. And he has to like prove himself to say like, oh, anybody who is against the king deserves a traitor's death.
Yes.
And then he's here in this moment and Tavington orders him to be the one to throw the first torch in the church as like a, almost like a, you know, like the proof of like, all right, well, put your money where your mouth is, motherfucker. Like,
exactly. And like, he does do it, but we do get that moment where like,
oh, there's clear regret in him.
Oh yeah. No, it's done so well that it's like
the look on his face, like he looks stricken. Like he is like, it's definitely fucking him up. Like,
well, if I don't do this, he's going to fucking kill me. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So like, he's like backed himself into a corner for sure. Yeah. And they do
is
it.
That, now that I'm thinking about it, is that the end of that character in this movie? I don't think we see him again.
I think he gets, I think he's attacked in that battle. Like,
oh, I guess he might be. I don't know that we specifically see him like die or anything.
Right, but I think you're right. Like, that is the last time we like get a moment with him. Yeah. I do think
there's the end of his arc. There you go.
He done fucked up.
Yeah, he done fucked up pretty good.
Yeah. So then he they go and like so Anne her family gets killed.
Oh, and it's like
devastating because like they're like
spend time in the church with them
where we see like the smoke
and she's like sob crying. It's so sad.
The mom is like trying to comfort her, like being like very much like holding her face, like my god, that's devastating.
Like, holy shit.
I mean
it's like one day I definitely want to be a mom, but the idea of just like loving someone so much beyond yourself. I mean, I have those feelings towards like people that I like towards cousins, but the idea of just like calming someone else down, even though you know that
you're also going to die.
It's like the ultimate.
No, it's love. Crazy. Yeah.
And it's like, it's beautiful as like devastating as it is. And you're just like, oh my God, this woman fully understands everything. She knows she's going to die. She's going to know her child is going
to
die.
But she's going to try to comfort her, like give her
in
like
her last moments.
Oh my God. And like that hits. And you're like,
you know, it's like in that scene in Titanic when like they're clear, like the kids are about to die with like the mom and she's like reading them the bedtime story. Come on. Devastating.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so real bummer of a moment.
Yep. Anyway, the end. That's the end.
That's it. The Patriot. Summer blockbuster. But like, so they show up to the town. You know, Benjamin, Gabriel, like all of them show up and
shit has been burned to the ground.
Yeah.
And like no one is around the town.
No one's there.
The
like it's like, it's like, well, all of every building is abandoned and there is a burned down church.
And Mel Gibson even looks and sees like a chain around burned out door.
And it's like, oh shit. And like they managed to find the and he finds like the necklace too
that he had given her,
that he'd given Anne.
Yeah, so he knows.
Again, so devastating. And like at this point, Bailey was just like, well, Tavington can't do anything worse at this point. I'm like, actually.
Yeah, Jen is like, there's one more thing.
I was like,
you say that.
It's kind of a funny story, but But so at this point though, Mel Gibson, like they're trying to like they're erecting graves even though there's no bodies, like they're
giving they're marking grave sites, they're sort of cleaning up rubble.
And then they realize he realizes that Gabriel is gone, and like he's just like, oh shit, and they're like they notice that like a few people are gone, like
and all people who are from this town.
He's like, well, this can't be good.
It's like,
this is not great. So we do see though that Gabriel is like off to find the dragoons and like he's like ready to like fucking murder
Tavington. Revenge mode.
Yeah, exactly. And like again, so like at this point, like Tavington, it like has his hair down. He's like shaving, and I was just like, I was like, God damn it! He literally just killed a town, and I'm like very aroused by you right now. It's like I gotta get my shit together.
A lot of people.
Yeah, like so many people at this point. But yeah, they get attacked, and I do. Yeah, and so it's Gabriel, the priest, like a couple of others. Yeah, from the town. Oh, and that, like it actually seems like they get like the better hand of the
They like win. Well, they mostly win. Like a lot of them get killed. I guess Gabriel's the last one, right? So it's like, it's kind of like down to a man, like the whole fight.
Yeah, one-on-one.
Yeah.
Right. And so
the Reverend gets shot and gives his freshly loaded gun up in his last moments to Gabriel.
Yeah.
And then Gabriel shoots Tavington as he's like reloading, right? Like,
this whole reloading shit is really the
I was like, we need to have more guns. Like, you just need to have more guns at the ready. Like, shoot this thing.
Terrifying the amount of like shots you can get off in one little trick.
Yeah, it's like, no wonder they said you could have guns. Those things were like dinosaurs.
You're killing half a person.
Yeah.
I think there's a comedian, Jim Jeffries, I think, has a whole bit about that in his like gun control bit. That's all about that. It's like, I was like, yeah, like give everyone a musket. I don't care. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You know how long it takes to load a musket? By the time you finish, like you're not mad about whatever you were mad about anymore.
Exactly. They were never thinking like, oh, we have like AR-15s that just like pull the trigger and boom, bullets be coming up.
Yeah.
Like, hold on. I need to reload and do this.
And like,
there's bullets powder and tamp it down. And, yeah.
And like these bullets are basically like tiny cannons in that they're just like little things of metal that are just like coming at you. Not like a bullet the way
and
it is now.
The accuracy is shit. So of course you had the right to
pick them. Of course. Like this thing is basically useless.
Or on Family Guy when they were like, oh, do you think people are going to ever like be caught up by this? It's like the right to bear arms. What are you talking about? And they look back and it's literally like bare arms hanging back. It's like, no, nobody's going to get fucked up by that.
That's funny.
It's like, oh no, just you. It.
And it seems like Tavington does get shot, but again, like he should have done what Benjamin did, where he just went beast mode on a motherfucker.
You need and to just, do like, that that's like
no no
in
he
scary
like
scary movies when it's like you kick them and they go off, it's like, no, you bash that bitch's brain in.
Yeah, exactly. you stop when you see brain.
Exactly. You're like, this bitch ain't getting back up.
Because basically, so he goes up, he has his knife, I think, and it's like it is implied that he wants it to be like an incident,
like he wants to do it for see the final moment where he kills the guy who killed his wife. And
But because he waits so long, Tavington like turns around and like fucking like stabs him, right? Like it's a, he stabs him with the bayonet. Right?
I think it's with his saber because he has
that's right. Yeah, he has that like sword out. And that's like that curved thing is gonna just like fuck up everything. Mm-hmm. In so,
then cavalry swords.
Yeah,
murdered two sons.
So yeah, Benjamin has gone from 7 to 5 kids. A quarter of his kids have been killed by this man. And then Benjamin shows up and like at this point it's too late. Like Tavington's left. Gabriel is still alive, but he's like on by a
this
thread.
This is 1776. There is no rushing you to surgery.
Yeah. And I mean, like with the way like you get stabbed like that, it's like it's a stomach wound like that
is not gonna. Yeah, you're not gonna shirk that one off.
Yeah, exactly. But like you know, he's like trying to like. He's trying, you know, he's like, no, you're going to be okay. I'm going to take care of you. And again, this is a very devastating scene where like, he's just like, you're going to be fine. And like, that's when Gabriel says, he's like, I'm sorry about Thomas. And it's so fucking sad. Like, I just like teared up a little right now. Cause like Benjamin looks at him and he like realizes like that he's probably been like fucking thinking about this ever since. Like
ever
like
since he said that thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Ever since he said that. And he's like, oh son, that wasn't your fault. That was mine. And
it was no worries about Gabriel, really. Let's be real.
It was Thomas's fault. But
that's what I meant, Thomas.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're gonna really point the blame at someone, it was fucking Colonel Tavington's fault.
I don't know the motherfucker's name.
Yeah.
Small soldiers fall for outrunning.
Yeah.
It is small soldiers' fault.
Was just Tavington for being a psycho.
It is Lucius Malfoy's fault.
It's dad's fault. Daddy got mad.
Yeah, and he'd be out shooting.
But like, you know, when he's trying to like comfort him because at this point though, like Gabriel is like convulsing, like he's definitely like about to die. And just like, and the way like Mel Gibson mourns over
the breakdown is real intense.
Yeah, because he's just like the noises that come out of him.
That's the thing. I think that what you were saying earlier is like nobody can act like that without being a little bit crazy.
Yeah, like again, it's like it's wild because you're just like he literally sounds like a wounded animal.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And so then, you know, at this point, like, morale real low, like, yeah, fucking like below the barrel.
Is broken. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Like, everybody is like, everybody's real fucked up over it. Chris Cooper then shows up and is
again, because
like,
he just be popping up.
Yeah. He, gotta love it. You know, he's got a big ass army to take care of. But like, he's just like, he shows up and he's like, you know, I'll help you bury him. And he's like, no, I'll bury him. It's like, it's my job.
Yeah.
And like, at this point though, Chris Cooper, like he's determined to just go home. He's like, I'm done.
He's like, he's like 1,000 years old, yet he's having his first child.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, Chris Cooper.
Cooper, yeah.
Is like 50.
My and wife is pregnant with our first. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
His wife is like
19 yeah, though, probably
like a teenager.
Yeah.
And is about to have their first child. Like, what is, like, this is not computing. But
yeah, yeah. Well, because, like, by like, that time yeah, period.
She did.
That, by that time period standards, yeah, Chris yeah. Cooper is
way too old.
Right, right. But, yeah, he's trying to, like, boost up his morale and, like, trying to get him to keep going because he's, like, we have, like, a real fucking shot here.
Yeah.
Like, if we win this battle, like, it's going to turn the tide. And he's just, like, cool, love that for you. Love yeah, that
like,
for you.
But take the rest of my guys, but I am out.
Yeah, yeah. Peace. Yeah. And, like,
I'm done.
Yeah, so, like, they all end up leaving. It does seem like Mel Gibson's about to go home, but, like, he finds Gabriel's flag that he's yeah. spent the whole movie sewing. And he, you know, and then, you know, he has, like, a change of heart, of course, because, like, you gotta. So he comes like, riding in on his horse with the flag. Everybody's yeah. real happy. Everybody's, yeah. like, shouting huzzah.
Huzzah! It's actually,
huzzah! Huzzah is what some of them are saying. I was like, are you trying to say hooray? But like,
nope.
Yeah, but so anyway, they're all back on board. They're going to go. They're prepping for this big battle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's what he suggests. It's a big, like, actual battle. It's not going to be a, like, guerrilla warfare. There's no, right. It's not in the woods, right? It's in a big,
like, Cornwallis is going to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, from, like, a fast.
Oh, yeah, not doing shit, really.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's just the guy, like, providing strategy. Yeah.
The way your officers in general should be, above the battle, above right. the fray. Yeah.
Absolutely. But then, so that's when Benjamin pitches the idea of being like, okay, well, like, let's have the militia do it because, like, they know that we break rank every time. So, like, let's give them
let's that. Use that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what, like, that's the plan is that they'll go. And, like, after a couple minutes, they'll, like, run and then, you know, and then yeah. there will be
more. And it's, I think it's, I thought about this when I watched it again, because he tells them all, he goes to the militia and he's like, hey, the plan is I need you guys to fire 2 shots and then you can run. And the guys are all like, you know, a lot can happen in the time it takes to fire 2 shots.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Like, you know, and it says, like, kind of the joke line of, like, I know, that's why I'm not asking you to fire 3. But, like,
right.
I was thinking about it, and it's like, okay, so if you were expecting the militia to always, like, say, fuck it and run, that would probably happen after their first shot. Mm. Like, mm-hmm. in the face of regulars, they probably see militia all the time, like, get fired on once, have the regulars start reloading, and then the militia are probably always like, all right, well, that was way too bad. We're leaving,
yeah,
right?
Bye.
So to give them, to make sure that they do 2 shots would make sure that it didn't seem like a trap, I think. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because if the militia managed to stay, like, if they knew they were going to run to try to lead everyone away, then they would probably just do 1 shot and then be like, great, chase us. But like, to have 2 makes it seem like they actually were trying to stay and fight and yeah. then decided to run. So I was thinking about it then. I was like, oh, that's actually, like, pretty clever. That's, like, a yeah. really good way to, like, make sure that they don't see what you're doing. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. And that's the thing though. So, like, this battle, like, everybody though is, like, going into this battle pretty much, like, prepared to die.
We gonna die. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially the militia who are here in the center being like, well, we're the first targets. Like,
yeah.
Oh.
And so, like, the French dude, the one who's been, like, fighting, like, teaching them how to fight and do everything, he, like, is in his, like, best dress. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. he says, he's just like, well, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die dressed nicely or something like that. Yeah.
Like in Titanic, it's like, well, if we're going to go down as, like, if we're going to go down, we're going to go down as gentlemen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And we haven't talked about his thing too, but, like, his whole deal is that he watched the boat that his entire family was on get burned alive by the yes. Redcoats at some point. And that's why he's here helping.
Right. Exactly. And that's why he's promised his, like, French fleet.
Yeah.
Because of that. Yeah. And you know, we have that moment. Then we do have the moment that we talked about a little bit before where like the African-American who's now free.
Yep.
It's been past over 12 months. He's there. And, you know, he has that line where like the racist dude is just like, oh, it's like, you don't have to be here anymore. And he's like, I'm here of my own accord.
Yeah.
And then we have that really touching moment.
The unfinished business that he has to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's like, well, no, like at this, like, you know, he's doing it for himself. Like he made the choice to be there. Whereas like before it was not a choice of his. So that's again, devastating, like very quietly devastating moment, heartwarming, all this good stuff. And like, you're just like, shit, like everybody's going to die. Pretty sure.
And even Benjamin Martin is kind of sure because he gives a letter to Chris Cooper and is like, can you give this to my children? And
it's exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah, I mean, at that point, like a battle like that, again, it is like out in the open. Like, who knows? It's crazy.
Yeah, you don't know.
And so like then the battle starts and they actually do the plan. Like the plan goes out. And then like when they break and start to run away, that's when Cornwallis is like, these fucking dudes, case them, go after them.
Yeah, you know what? I don't want to have another battle later. Like, let's finish it now. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they go, and then like when they go over the hill, at this point, like the militia have been like they've ducked down basically. And so like the other like the regulars are like locked and ready to go. Yeah. Waiting, so that's when and so like a bunch of like people get mowed down at that point. And then I think that is when is that when Tavington like breaks and is just like, oh, I'm gonna go, like he
it's I think so before? I think it's around that time because Tavington breaks first and Cornwallis is like, no fucking way he gets credit for this win, send everyone over the hill, like, I want the credit for this. Yeah,
right, exactly, that's what it is, because like he had specifically told him is like, do not go out there until I give you the okay. And of course he doesn't do it. Like he does what he wants. And you know, and so at this point it's chaos. Like
they all charge at each other and it's hand to hand stuff. There's cannons exploding.
Yeah.
And,
no, it's like, it's very chaotic. We don't know what's going on, but then there's finally
like PG-13 though. They're still not like,
oh yeah, none of the violence in this scene is actually that hard.
It's so wild, just because you go into being like, oh.
Although we did get to see that horse get like,
oh,
that's we do. I have a whole thing. Back on the podcast I do and whatever. Like I have a whole thing of I hate horses, and that's real. Like I really do actually.
The opposite of Tina from Bob's Burgers. Yes. Yes. Dead horse like 5 times. Tina never reacted. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I do not care for horses.
That's so funny. So like you're gung ho when he gets like
it happens, and I literally I'm like, yep, that was the right thing to do. He should have done that. From a battle standpoint, it's definitely the right thing to do.
In the making of this film.
Like, yes. Well, no. So then, like, so Tavington goes flying off of his horse, and at this point, we're like, we're ready. He's got like Ben's got his tomahawk. He's ready to like fucking like just fight this dude.
That tomahawk.
Yeah. Although it is really funny because this is like when I expected something like crazy violent to happen, although it probably would have just been hilarious. But like literally he does the thing where like he blocks one of his hits and the tomahawk goes flying.
Yep.
And I was like, that should have definitely gone through like somebody's hand or like arm. Like that should have hit somebody.
It's like stuck in some guy's hand. He's like, ah!
But I was like, it should have been friendly fire. Like it should have been like one of his guys.
One of the eyes.
To me, it'd be really funny if it flew out of his hand and then ended up hitting the same horse that he had just stabbed with the flag. Okay. But that's just my opinion.
It's like, here we go. Here's my pitch. We just really kill this horse.
Just that horse.
Like this horse becomes like a punching bag for everybody in the Revolutionary War.
The horse was gonna live. No.
But like, yeah, so we get them fighting. They're like, they're doing the whole like sword thing. And like
everyone's taking hits, right? You got a slice on the arm, you get a slice on the back, you get a slice of the leg.
No, he's like, he's going, and like it is because he's like trying to make him suffer, basically. Like he's like doing, like he's clearly not trying to kill him at this point. Like, he wants him to, like...
He wants him, like, he'd like to look at him.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, oof.
And so there's the thing, though, where it does seem like Benjamin's, like, about to get, like, had. And, like, literally, I remember when I was 10, I was like, it might happen. Who knows? Like, everybody's fucking
dying. I've seen Braveheart. He died.
And also, like, this dude is ruthless. He's killed everybody. Like, it's crazy.
And it's even in that moment, because he's like, Benjamin's on his knees and Tavington's like behind him, right? Like about to like kill him. But you see from like Benjamin's point of view that like, oh, the rebels are winning the battle though. Like everyone's pushing forward. The flag is waving. Like, they have taken the field. It's just like this little personal battle that is seeming to be lost. And Tavington sees it too, because he kind of looks around and like, that's when he kind of like makes his last comment to like, Benjamin Martin of, you know, like whatever he says, because he kind of looks around and is like, oh, well, at least I'm winning this, basically.
Yeah.
You
know? Well, he says, he's like, he says, kill me before the war's over.
Oh, yeah, right. You.
And he's like,
clearly you're not the better man.
Yeah. And then, ooh, that's when we get it, though. That's when we get it, because then he kind of like ducks as like the sword goes, and then he turns around and then just fucking.
Oh, it's a good one.
It's a good
one. Grabs a bayonet off the ground and sticks it in his belly.
Yeah, exactly. And like, he like manages to like get up and he's like, you're right, my sons were better men. And then that's when he takes like the, I guess. Like,
that's when he takes the bayonet. That's right.
Oh, maybe that's it. Yeah. And that's when it like goes through his like, his throat.
Right in his neck. Oh, and it's such a like a personal like
he's like
eye to eye with this
it's like a very intimate moment. I was just like, damn,
you need it to be though.
And like he, and like you do see like the life leave his eyes and you're just like, damn, dude. Wow.
Gibson prevailed.
Yeah, he did. So you know what? It's great. And then we get like a little quick montage of just like, and like voiceover of like how basically the tide has been turned.
Yeah, in the few months since that, basically we win the war. Yeah.
And
the French like, show up.
It's deep in Julie Richardson. And
because they have a baby when he comes back. Yeah. But like Cornwallis has to surrender, and like he seems like, he's like, how did this happen?
Yeah.
Like, well, what,
I picked the wrong men for this shit.
Yeah.
I just stand idle by. Yeah.
But like so then everybody disbands. They're just like, they go home. The Chris Cooper's kid's been born. Mm-hmm. We hear that he's named it Gabriel.
Oh, how
and sweet. Like the French guy is just like, oh, it's a good name for a farmer.
Yeah.
It is. Like there's this like weird small talk.
Because I think they've been kind of contentious, like the whole movie, Benjamin Martin and the French guy have been kind of contentious because of essentially what Benjamin Martin did during the French and Indian War to like other French people.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the moment towards there at the end where it's like, they have the moment before the battle where they talk about the French guy's daughters, and then after the battle where it's like, okay, I think we're cool now. We're cool.
We got
a beat. They had their moment where it's like,
well, it's like we both almost died. Like, I think we can. Together. Yeah, exactly.
We beat the Red Coast. That was both our goals. We're good.
Yeah, exactly. And so then, and then at this point, so he goes and like he gets Aunt Charlotte, he gets the kids. Their kids, like they now have a baby and like they're going back home. And I guess like their plan was, I guess, to rebuild.
Yeah.
But of course, when they get there, there's people already rebuilding.
There's racist guy.
Ex-racist
Donald Logue. Yeah.
Yes.
Ex-racist Donald Logue and his African-American friend. And
no,
like,
he's got his African-American friend. Yeah.
Friends now, and they're like, well, you know, we want to rebuild everything. And we thought we'd start here.
It works, but also it is the cop out. Whereas it's God, this whitewashing ass shit.
Yeah,
like,
for sure. Yeah.
But like, again, like it is.
Aggressively white people.
But so then like it's just like and he's like, Gabriel said that we would rebuild a new world, why not start here, like you said.
Again, the world isn't gonna be so great. Wait till like the
1940s, 50s. We're in like even the 1800s, like Civil War, like all that shit, like
shit's about to get, like, Gabriel's dead, so he doesn't get to experience the shit.
Exactly.
He wanted a better world. I loved his ideals. That shit ain't happening.
Yes, love that for him. But so that's The Patriot.
Roll credits.
It's good stuff.
This episode is going to be longer because this movie was super.
It's a real long movie.
It is a real long movie. But again, it's one of those movies that like when you're watching it, you don't really notice the time.
Yeah.
Like
it goes by quickly.
It moves quickly, which is nice.
It does.
But So like one of the things that we do on this is we always like say whether there was like a batshit moment in the movie. Like, would you say that there was one in this?
It's hot. Yeah. Like there's just like sometimes it completely takes you out of it. I don't necessarily think there was, because all of these moments I felt like were rooted in what these characters would do, especially like the motivation of like his son is dead, he's gonna do this, and his other son dies and he's gonna do this. It felt within the character. So I don't know if there was something like that.
I guess like the closest to me for a batshit moment, I guess, is like that first time in the woods when he like goes crazy with the tomahawk and all the shit, but that doesn't take me out of the movie.
It's just
the part that makes me be like, holy shit. Like,
exactly. I would say for me personally, I think like the first time we see that cannon like take the head off.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I would say that just because that actually does seem a little out of place. Just in the context, because you're like, what the fuck?
That's all. Like the violence hadn't been at that level ever, really.
Yeah. And like again, like I would say like there are these like moments of those types of violent things where you're just like, what the hell? Because like, again, that moment in the woods, it's very much rooted in his grief and like how all of that. So like, it feels very motivated. So there's that. I would say though, for me, it is like when you see, cause like literally the head just like goes off.
It seems like a moment that was made for 3D movies before 3D movies.
Yeah. You know,
the cannonball comes like straight to the camera. To
the camera. Yeah, exactly.
The head's clean off.
Yeah. Kind of like when you see Sleepy Hollow, what a way to go, as I like to say.
What a way to go. That is like the definition of what a way to go. Yeah,
my God. I mean, granted, you probably didn't feel much.
No. Boom.
Like literally it's lights out for you. where would you put this on the garbage meter? I think I wouldn't put it on the garbage meter. Like, or if I was, I was going to say this is sweet garbage because I love this movie. I love it so much. Like, everything about this movie is perfect in its own ridiculous way.
It was perfect for its time. It was exactly,
you have an affinity
exactly
for
what
it.
Would be successful then. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, watching it like 22 years later and knowing that like Roland Emmerich had made this, just thinking of Roland Emmerich's filmography, I'm like, it's kind of garbage. But I did, again, we did talk about how the acting elevates it at times.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And how I didn't necessarily feel like the full nearly 3 hour runtime. This is mainly why Jenna and I have been apprehensive about going to this new Batman. Because we're like,
we still haven't seen it. I still have not seen it either.
Yeah.
I was like 3 hours. HBO Max at this point, because I could take bathroom breaks and shit. Like,
yeah. Well, for me, I haven't been in a theater since before COVID. So that's just a whole nother thing.
Oh,
so we're going to wait for
it.
I've
been going since the minute. It's like, you can go to a theater.
No, I waited until
negative every time. So both.
Well, that's great. No, it's good. But I don't know. 3 hours though. I mean, like the fact that it's the same runtime as Drive My Car is like a little like intense for me. I was just
Drive
like
my car need to be that long too. But...
Oh, I mean, it's great though. It's a brilliant movie. It's so good. Like it's also just like very devastating, and I don't know. I think like a good 3 hour movie is great. It's like
if it's a good movie, I don't mind it being 3 hours.
Right,
like Titanic. Shit, I watched that thing when I was like 8, like 10 times.
Can still watch it. Wolf of Wall Street, a delightful 3 hour movie.
Yeah. So like this, I never necessarily felt it, which was
I rewatched the extended editions of Lord of the Rings like multiple times a year. Like I'm all for a long movie.
Yeah. Cause like a lot of times too, it's just like, well, the vibes are immaculate. Like we're going to hang out for 3 hours. Like that's what it is.
It's happening.
But So David, do you have anything though that you want to plug? I know you have your own podcast.
Sure. Yeah. Stuff. Yeah. I do have a podcast. It's called Storytime, which in retrospect is so hard to tell someone to look up because there are 1,000 podcasts named Storytime. But it's with myself, David Miller, and my good friend, Michael Santel, who I've known forever and ever and ever. Essentially we tell each other stories that the other person hasn't like really heard necessarily or doesn't really know. So like actual stories. So we've done Bible stories, original fairy tales, folk tales, Greek myths, Norse myths, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
We're going through the Animorphs book series right now.
I love it.
I read that shit as a kid and I'm rereading it all right now. And oh man, it's fucked up. Kids in war. I have a Twitter account at Miller D, but that's it. I don't tweet much, but you know, there it is. That's me.
Yay. Well, thank you so much. Yeah. Listen to Storytime. Yeah.
I guess we have a Twitter account for that too, at the Storytime Pod.
Oh, cool. Cool. Nice. Great. Well, it was great to have you on. Thank you so much. It was exactly the blast I thought it was going to be because we love this movie so much.
It's great. I was excited to get to have an excuse to rewatch it.
Yeah, right.
My first time. I was the virgin.
Oh, yeah. Well, you'll always remember your first time.
Yes, like Jason Isaacs has taken it. Yeah.
Oh, man. He's the best. And with that, though, that concludes Jason Isaacs month. Yes. I'm depressed now.
Yeah. Next month is going to be Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, snap.
We're going to come out with Titanic with a special guest, Caitlin Durante, which we're really excited about.
Yeah.
So look out for that. That'll be the first installment in Leo month.
Yay. All right. We will see you next time. Thanks, guys. Bye. Bye, David.
Bye. Bye.
Sweet, sweet garbage, baby.